go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for, April Fool's Day. First day of April, 2022. There will be no April Fool's jokes today. I find that kind of prankery. Well, sometimes it's funny. Most of the time it's not. Killjoy. Not you, Joy. Hi, I'm Robin. And, it is the beginning of a brand new month, which means that there's a challenge on the table to help alleviate the giant gaping budget deficit that we ended March with. Fundraising goal is $1,090, but if we can raise $300 this evening, thanks to Bruce's Memorial Challenge, we will cut it to $490. And that would be a tremendous boon. Of course, a full-on community-made miracle would be the whole $1,090 for this Friday on the front porch. Let's see here. Every program at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. The third switch is thrown. We should be sending merrily along. Trying to find something out here. I guess there are stream problems. Jack says, I'm having problems loading the HeadOn.live stream. I press play and it just keeps saying loading. White Rose is okay. That's worrisome. Stand by. Okay, Brother Deacon Asa tells me I'm streaming merrily along, so that's a good thing. Maybe Jack and Randy are April fooling me. I hope not. Like I said, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, so for this first day of the month, we send out thanks to Rusty and Chris, to Mark, and to Tom in sunny San Rafael, and to John and Joseph. And thank you all for being part of the partial spot. I can't talk today. It's cold. I'm losing my mind. It was 84 degrees in the studio yesterday. It's freezing in the studio today because it snowed today. And so I'm a little... at any rate, thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to David for being... for jumping in early on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. That takes us down to 280 to go on that challenge and gets us started toward what I hope may be a community-made miracle. It would be fantastic if it was. Steve in New York saying he had the same issue with the website. I got nothing. I don't know. Okay, so Brother Deacon Ace is hearing me. Maybe it's a, I don't know. But at any rate, if you would like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room, well, pop on by headon.live, click on Chat Room, and you will be immediately greeted by early arrivers Kid Mark and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry. Sparky is not here today. I suppose I'm the moderator of sorts in the chat room. Not out of sorts, just of sorts. I can't spend a lot of time watching the chat room simply. So y'all are going to have to behave. Because, like I said, I've got about 3 million tabs open. Steve says the TuneIn app is working swimmingly. That's good. No, really, it was... we've had a couple of rough nights. 50-mile-an-hour winds two nights ago, and as Randy Radar points out, looks like March came in like a lamb and went out like a lion. We've had very high winds here for a whole week. Yeah, it's been that way here, too. I felt like the guy in the old Maxell tape ad sitting in the chair with the speakers blowing his hair back. It's been like that all week. But it is Friday on the front porch. Sparky will not be holding the lightsaber during the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation this evening. We'll get that started in about, a little under an hour, about 52 minutes and seconds from now, or thereabouts. And hopefully we'll find lots of stuff to go into and cuss and discuss over. Let's see. Where to begin? Well, let's start in Florida. No, wait, I got a better one. Because, yesterday evening, we had the story of the House of Representatives actually getting something done, because they've been getting something done under Nancy Pelosi's leadership the whole time, doing their job. It's not Nancy Pelosi or any member of the House's fault that the Senate is in the death grip of Queen Jo to the mansion born. And I call him Queen Jo because on a chessboard, the queen is the most powerful piece. And at this point in time, he seems to be the most powerful member of the Senate, much to my chagrin. But today, it was historic what the House of Representatives did. We could say that it was a green letter day, because today the House passed a bill that would outright end the federal ban on cannabis by a vote of 220 to 204, with lo and behold, a little handful of Republicans even supporting the measure. It's called the MORE Act, the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act. It was brought to the floor by Gerald Nadler of New York, because he found out what a chore New York was finding it to be to try to legalize cannabis. And under the MORE Act, cannabis leaves, see what I did there? Yeah, I work at these things. Cannabis leaves the controlled substances list, and federal criminal penalties for individuals who grow or distribute or just have it are also eliminated from the U.S. code. Unfortunately, however, now that it is on its way to the Senate of the United States, because the Senate of the United States operates on an anti-democratic old relic of our enslavement past, I'm talking, of course, about the filibuster, there have to be 60 votes in favor of it. I don't know if we can get all 50 Republicans on board. Now, I was wrong about Queen Jo to the Mansion Born, and Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, but I don't feel like I'm going to wind up being wrong this time. Okay, this is just out of hand. Scott in San Diego says, I've got two icons for the show on my Apple TV box. One is older, red and white. The other is the current Horn Blue logo. That one doesn't stream, but the old one does. I'll bet one is White Rose and the other one is the HeadOn.Live stream. Lee in New York says, when I click play on the HeadOn.Live, it says loading and does not play. Steve in New York had the same issue with the website. Jack, Randy. So, I mean, that's from New York to Louisiana to California. So I don't know what's going on. But anyway, take a moment just to revel in the fact that the House of Representatives, run by Democrats, got this done because a Republican House would never have done this. Never, ever, 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 ever. And Democratic Representative Ed Perlmutter, speaking yesterday ahead of the vote on the House floor, said the MORE Act will, quote, end decades of failed and unjust marijuana policy. It is clear prohibition is over. Today we have an opportunity to chart a new path forward on federal cannabis policy that actually makes sense. Bear in mind, of course, that it only affects federal cannabis policy and criminality. It does not operate to legalize weed in any state, like, you know, Alabama, Mississippi Stan, South Carolina Stan, places where hateful cannabis laws have been used in wildly disproportionate fashion to, of course, oppress and imprison people of color. It would remove the classification that cannabis has, because this is official federal legal policy. Cannabis under federal law is deemed to have no medical uses. None. It also makes it difficult to use the United States nationwide banking system and elements thereof. Now, of course, there are Republicans, and there are Republicans who are pissed off about it. MAGOT Representative Michelle Fischbach said, it's not only flawed, it's dangerous. It doesn't protect minors, and it might make people want to open up marijuana businesses and inject the marijuanas. Oh, for God's sakes. Back in 2021, by the way, the Pew Research Center did some survey work. 91% of Americans said they agreed that cannabis should be legal either on a medical or a recreational basis. Now, over in the Senate, where procedural relics are more important than democracy, Senator Chuck Schumer will introduce his own legalization bill this month. And, of course, I can't wait for that because there will be an absolute bumper crop. Ha ha ha. Of stories of idiotic Republicans waxing hyperbolous on the dread dangers of reefer madness. For pity's sake. But again, take a moment to appreciate the fact that once again, Democrats are trying to do something for the people of this country while the Republicans bark and grunt and howl and moan and hoot and occasionally go on Warrior Poet Society podcast to talk about being invited to cocaine-fueled sex parties. I mean, could the distinction be drawn any more clearly? Subject line, pot. Scott in San Diego says, put on your Betty Crocker hats, kids. Everybody bake some special brownies for both of your U.S. senators. Send them with a polite note to join the rest of us in the 21st century. Harry Anslinger is dead. Let's bury antiquated pot laws with him. P.S. Harry Anslinger, I knew this, was the head of the federal forerunner to today's Drug Enforcement Administration. And don't you think we could probably save a considerable bit of money if we scaled back the DEA while we're at it? I mean, interdicting fentanyl coming from overseas is probably still a good idea. Interdicting heroin coming from overseas is still a pretty good idea, I guess. But if they don't have to run around chasing pot, do they need to be as big as they are? Hey, maybe we could take some of the resources we're putting into chasing pot and put it into chasing pill roller doctors. Which brings me to another topic. This afternoon, and I've mentioned this on the air before. This afternoon, online, I watched the new documentary, Devil Put the Coal in the Ground. I knew what it was about. I know my state's bloody and heartbreaking history. But I still sat there and wept. I have no problem saying that it will be the most powerful film I watch this year. And I watch a good bit of film. Documentaries and movies, too. I can't imagine anything, and it's more powerful than anything I've recently seen. I can't imagine anything being more powerful than this. And it's not the easiest thing in the world to watch right now. I basically rented the ability to watch it for 72 hours through the Finger Lakes Environmental Film Festival. This film is garnering awards left and right. At some point in time, I hope it will be picked up by some streaming service. But it is the way in which the director, one of the directors, Peter Hutchison, has put the story together that makes it so powerful. My dear friend and colleague in the 8 campaign, Bo Webb, features prominently in the film. My dear friend Lisa, daughter of Judy Bonds, Goldman Prize winner Judy Bonds, one whom I referred to when she passed as our Moses. Lisa features prominently in the film, as do a lawyer and a county circuit judge, a physician, a nurse, an addict, and some dude named Bob. I watched it and I was, wait. I swear I've seen that guy. I haven't seen him in a long time. I don't think I'll ever see him again. No, I was privileged and honored to be part of it and part of the storytelling that goes with the film. It is absolutely magnificent. And I can't wait until it gets wider distribution. I badly want to put on a screening of it in Fayetteville at the historic Fayette Theater. I have to try to find out what would be involved with that. I put up a post about it over on Facebook, and I put up a post and tagged the Twitter account as well. The post over at Facebook on my page, Robin Kincaid, has a link to the Facebook group for Devil Put the Coal in the Ground. And you can scroll down there, and there is mention of the Finger Lakes Environmental Film Festival. And I think through the 13th of this month, there are some 79 slots available to watch in exchange for a donation of $10. And Ron in Raleigh says, Robin, are you on? You're not loading. Is it me? Let me answer this email. Because this is the kind of thing where you have to write back. So, how frustrating it is to be talking about all of this, and a bunch of the audience can't seem to get it. Brother Deacon Asa says, there seems to be a problem with the streaming widget on the website, looking into it. Thank you, Brother Deacon. I appreciate you. So anyway, if you're within the sound of my voice and you go over to the post I put up on Facebook, you can, it takes a little bit of effort, but you can get over the, and I think every, like, it was streaming while it was showing at the DC Environmental Film Festival, and now through, I think, the 13th at the Finger Lakes Environmental Film Festival, and it will be streaming at other film festivals as well. It basically details the history of the oppression and the abuse and the misery and the death that the coal industry has brought to West Virginia. And if you can watch it without shedding a tear, you are better, or at least you are less emotional than I or any number of other people who have seen it. So, I hope you do. Ralps tells me, I hear you just fine on TuneIn. Thank you, Ralps. I hope that, I hope Brother Deacon Asa sorts it out. Jack telling me it's possible White Rose problem could be on my end. Let me answer that one, too. Okay, all better now. Oh, and this has been kind of a stop and start sort of attenuated program thus far. New York Times reported yesterday, and who knew, well, I guess someone does polling in Mother Russia. How reliable this is, I think, is subject to question. But 83% of the subjects of Mother Russia apparently claim they approve of Vladdy Daddy's murderous butchery of Ukraine. The Levada Center, an independent pollster in Moscow, if such a thing is even possible, said that his approval is up to 83% from 69% in January. There's nothing, it just goes to show, there is nothing like the bloody shirt to rouse the masses. Of course, Russians have limited access to, independent media. And a lot of people answering the polls probably felt like they had a gun to their heads. Oh, I love Vladimir Putin. He is wonderful. I would like him to marry my daughter. Whatever. And of course, over in Mother Russia, they don't call it their war against the innocent people of Ukraine. They call it special military operations because of Ukro-Nazis, which, of course, too many people in the United States are entirely willing to buy into. Denis Volkov, the director of Levada, said, there is no euphoria, because this time, as opposed to Crimea, situation is much more serious and difficult. There are victims, and it is unclear when it will all end. The confrontation with the West has consolidated the Russian people, because he has fostered a national sense of paranoia. Russia alone against the ravening hordes of gender-fluid Westerners. Oh, and of course, that's naturally. That's in the news, too. Because, of course, it is. Over at Newsmuck, the filthy cesspit of ultra right wing maggotry, their war. Oh, and by the way, as to the 83% polling number for Pootie, Scott in San Diego says, last month I saw their poll on Trump's chances in 2024, also 83%. Small world. Oh, I'd hate to walk it. And, yeah. He's always 83. Answer is 83, not 42. Answer is always 83. Remember, Saddam Hussein won 99% of the vote the last time he was elected in Iraq, before we murdered his country. But, as I mentioned yesterday, it was Transgender Day of Visibility. And so, they went full on nutty over at Newsmuck with a couple of Lulus named Benny Johnson, and I didn't expect to hear from him, but lo and behold, you remember back when NRA TV was a thing before the NRA went to pieces over allegations of widespread and wholesale corruption? That was back when, Coleon Noir was blathering away about the glories of guns. And there was also, at the time there, a guy, I think he was there at NRA TV, named Greg Stinkfield. And it probably changed his name from Greg Cesspit or something like that. Well, Benny Johnson and Greg Stinkfield went hog ass wild on the transes yesterday. The banner on the video says, U.S. Air Force goes woke. Oh, my God. Hey, the transes are going to trans you all. Oh, God, I want to put on a tutu.
I hate to break the news to them, Benny, but you know who she's an inspiration to? Is the Chinese army and the Russian army that says, I want America to have a whole army filled with breeze because it's not going to be very formidable, Benny.
We're going to lose a major war in my lifetime if we keep going down this route of making our military, making...
Benny, sugar, we lost in Vietnam. We lost in Afghanistan. We lost in Iraq. And you know what? Trans people had absolutely nothing to do with losing those wars. Hell, we had to struggle with Panama and Grenada. In my lifetime, we're going to lose... Oh, he said a major war, as opposed to a little war. But Benny Johnson and Greg Stinkfield would be right at home, maybe working for, media in Mother Russia.
America to have a whole army filled with breeze because it's not going to be very formidable, Benny.
And it's, again, it's always the trans women. The trans guy would probably kick either one of these neo-maxi-zoom dweebies' ass up around his shoulder blades. But, you know, they don't think trans men are men or that trans women are women, so they focus on... Yes, it's just going to be a whole army of nothing but sissies. You poor little transphobe bigots. A sissy with a gun can shoot you just as dead as Rambo with a gun. It's almost like they don't know about, say, the member of SEAL Team 6 who, upon leaving, separating from the service, went into her transition and could to this day make either one of these little fascist punks run for their lives. Oh, let me answer a question for Flavio. For Devil Put the Coal in the Ground, if you go to the Facebook page for Devil Put the Coal in the Ground, and you scroll down through it, you will find you will find various posts indicating where the film is playing in this film festival or that one. Look for the post that mentions the Finger Lakes Environmental Film Festival. Go there. Then scroll until you see the reference to Devil put the Coal in the Ground. And there will be a watch this link there. That's how I did it. Like I said, it's a bit of an involved process, but yeah. And hopefully it will become easier to watch. Anyway, back to Benny Johnson and Greg Stinkfield.
We're going to lose a major war in my lifetime if we keep going down this route of making our military, making our beloved theme parks, making our schools, gender indoctrination centers.
Not our beloved theme parks. Oh, no. Wonder if this stupid fucker even noticed at any point in time that for years and years and years, Porky Pig didn't even wear pants. Nah, why would he? Sometimes this is just too easy. Sometimes this is like shooting fish in a barrel. And I'm sure that he's terribly, terribly upset because just yesterday the Department of Health and Human Services in Washington, D.C., ran the trans pride flag, very same trans pride flag that actually hangs behind me here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. I mean, not the same flag, but you get the idea. They ran it up the flagpole in observance and celebration of the presence of trans people in our country and in our society and our culture, and the contributions that we make there too. Well, except for Kate Jenner, because well, now that she's gone to work for Fox, any lingering doubt about her as a decent human being or well, over. Oh, I know. Our beloved theme parks. Ralph says, oh, no, Goofy will be trans. And, of course, you all know the story about what it was very sad. Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse, after years of marital bliss, finally came to a parting of the ways and found themselves in divorce court. And the judge, with the pleadings in hand, called the case to order and addressed Mickey and said, Mr. Mouse, I'm looking at your petition for divorce here, and it says here that you're seeking a divorce from Minnie on the grounds that she is insane. To which Mickey replied, oh no, Your Honor, I said she's fucking goofy. I'll be here next week. Don't try the veal. Matt in San Francisco, the gender roller coaster, so I can't get on Magic Mountain unless I'm gender nonconforming. Well, yeah, you know, you can, you know, at least, you know, wear a little, oh, I don't know, a little, you know, a little trans lapel pin or something. Or maybe. I prefer one of my favorite adornments. I have three little stretch bracelets made of three different minerals. One is a sort of pale, transparent blue. Another one is white, and another one is a pink quartz. I wear it a lot. And it's not like I can hide. Where were we? Oh, yes, our beloved theme parks are going to become gender indoctrination centers. Yeah, I really don't think they understand how it works. I did not have to be indoctrinated. I grew up in an absolutely transphobic time. Because all times in this country have been transphobic times, even up to this very instant. And even a little bit less transphobia is something that these two closet cases can't handle. Yeah, there we go. Scott in San Diego, we're off and running. How Walt Disney really died. He walked in and found Snow White sitting on Pinocchio's face, screaming, lie, you wooden SOP! Lie! Oh, I don't know why I'd never heard that before, but I'm glad I finally heard it. Lie, you wooden SOP! Lie! Oh, the splinters! Scott observing, trans troops. Now, wait, trans troops do poorly in combat? If so, does Putin know? His forces haven't been doing so well in Ukraine. Even a bogus reason can be used as a reason. P.S. Trans cartoon characters, so Mickey's now Minnie and Porky's now Petunia? It all gets so confusing. Why, you wouldn't SOB, lie!
Gender indoctrination centers. There is absolutely zero reason that teachers, pink-haired freakazoids, should be teaching our children about their sex lives.
Which, of course, doesn't happen. There are no pink-haired freakazoid teachers teaching about the... Oh, God. By the way, Jeremy in Vermont says, me 3, yes, the website is... loading slowly. The player won't load at all. I wonder if we've been hit. Okay, so there is now, Brother Deacon Asa says, a temporary link right above the streaming widget on the homepage that says backup stream. That'll work until I get to my PC and fix the widget. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. I know what a pain in the ass this is, and I can never thank you enough for all you do. Jeremy adds, the former SEAL Team 6 member is Kristen Beck. And she could stomp a mud hole in both of these clowns at the same time, probably without breaking a sweat.
They're talking about kindergartners here in the state of Florida. And by the way, this is one of the only states in the country that has actually banned this. Where are the rest of the conservative governors in America at banning this type of indoctrination? There's no reason for it, and there certainly is absolutely no reason for it in our military.
There's no indoctrination. He's talking about the Don't Say Gay bill. You know, it'd be great maybe in a major market like Miami if there was a, you know, the morning happy talk show changed its name to Gay Morning Miami! Gay Morning Orlando! Gay Morning Tallahassee! Because if you do it enough, Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, well, his head might explode.
You have to look at it like this, Grant. You have to see it as indoctrination.
You have to. Well, and I guess he's not really lying, because you have to if you want to, if the folks here at Newsmuck want to succeed in fostering more hate, you have to see it that way. You have to, even though it isn't indoctrination. You know, don't beat up other children is not indoctrinating them to be either gay or trans.
Through the sword, it's conversion therapy, but for radical gender ideology. It's a religion to these people, and they convert.
If it's a religion, I didn't get the memo, but then again, I'm still not getting my copy of the LGBTQIA plus agenda every morning. I don't know what I have to do to get on the mailing list, but damn. I need to tell Darlene via email. Well, yeah, Ralphs, I think ABC could make it Gay Morning America, but, well, people would be, yeah. Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, Tempted. Ooh, I love that song by Squeeze. Really tempted to make some official-looking highway directional signs stating, Trans Indoctrination Center Next Exit, then place them throughout the great state of Florida. What... what's the line from Animal House? This calls for a pointless and futile act, and that's when they start chanting toga, toga, toga. Gay signs, gay signs, gay signs. Yeah, but then again, the likes of Greg Stinkfield and Benny the Johnson, Matt, they already think the entire state of California is a gay indoctrination center. You could probably disabuse them.
Look at it like this, Grant. You have to see it as indoctrination through the sword. It's conversion therapy, but for radical gender ideology. It's a religion to these people, and they convert. That's the purpose. And they take over the institutions, and they wish to turn them into their churches. Because they have no churches, and they have no God, and so this is what they serve.
That is some genuine frontier gibberish. And the number of people who tune in and go, yup, 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 yup. My God. It makes your brains hurt. But they need a hateful America. Newsmuck can't exist without a hateful America. They can't live, and Greg Stinkfield can't be paid $1 million a year or whatever he's getting by promoting peace or harmony or kindness, goodness. It's impossible. Lady B says, Robin, you're coming across fine on TuneIn. That must be the one that's tied to the White Rose stream. Thank you. Please email me that Snow White and Pinocchio joke. A gem, and this will mean so much to Scott. Lady B says, a gem like that should be encased in humidity-proof glass and mounted on a pedestal like the Declaration of Independence. I agree. I agree, Lady B. And again, in case you missed it somewhere along the way, where'd it go? Oh, there it is. No, that's not it. There. How Walt Disney really died. He walked in and found Snow White sitting on Pinocchio's face screaming, "Lie! You wouldn't SOB! Lie!" It's still funny, and it still gets another cowbell. So, and copy. Yeah, I heard that too, Scott. Scott, did he say they use a sword? Scott says, I kind of sort of don't think your health insurance plan would pay for a procedure that uses a sword. I swear I think he did. Let's find out. A one, a two.
For nation, through the sword, it's conversion therapy. But for radical gender ideology.
Yep, he said sword. That makes not a damn lick of sense to me, but, you know, who the hell am I? Right. But since Benny the Johnson says that, Florida's getting it right, let's check in on Florida, where 60-year-old Paul Vernon Hofer? H-O-E-F-F-E-R, I'm guessing it's German, Hofer. 60-year-old Paul Vernon, I like Hofer better, got sent up the river today, 18 months in prison. He pled guilty to charges that he made no small number of bloody threats against Democratic politicians. He sent a bunch of genuinely disgusting threats to, of course, Nancy Pelosi, and of course to AOC, and to Chicago prosecutor Kim Fox. He told, he communicated to Nancy Pelosi that he would perform a quote unquote jihadist style head lopping. And he told AOC, I'll rip your head off. And according to Axios, he, around that time, he also called Fox, who's black, used a racial slur to convey that bullets were going to rattle her brain. In November 2020, he left a recording on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's voicemail saying she should sleep with one eye open and that she should have been aborted. Prosecutors wanted him to do 3.5 years, which still seems fairly mild. But no, his pettifoggers brought in some sort of piece of paper that said he had an aggressive form of cancer. So? So what? The judge was saying, well, 18 months will do it. You'll die in prison. Won't it be hilarious when he come when he comes tap dancing out of the gates 18 months from now? My cancer got all better. Sorry, fucker. And yeah, Ron and Raleigh, I answered that on air. Your lieutenant governor there in North Carolina, Stan, Mark Robinson, he thinks America is a Christian nation. No, we're not a theocracy yet, but that won't stop him from continuing to try. Thanks for sending that along, Jack, in Shreveport. I'll send it to Brother Deacon. The subject line, indoctrinated. Jeremy in Vermont wants to know, does it count that I was indoctrinated with things like, it's a phase, it'll just pass, years of therapy to try and change my mind and the way I felt? I feel sorry for these two stupid men talking about things they know little to nothing about, other than their very own fucking fear. And I'm still trying to figure out what it is about transness that's so damn scary. But then again, they're indoctrinating the children is just a retread. They're indoctrinating children is the same thing. I mean, they've been hollering about gay indoctrination for a few decades now. And, you know, recruiting. Oh, and by the way, if you're looking for Devil Put the Coal in the Ground links, thank you very kindly to Roger in Oregon, who went looking around and found it. If you pop into the Skype group, you will you'll hopefully see that link, or Roger will repost it. Basically, it goes to this is terribly complicated. Watch.eventive.org/FLEFF, which is Finger Lakes Environmental Film Festival, /play. But I think if you go to eventive.org/FLEFF, you'll probably be able to scroll until you see the link for the film. Thank you, Roger. That's really helpful. So we were in Florida. Now we will zip lickety split to Iowegia, where there's a company called Carver Pump Company, and they had an employee there named Lee Haney. Lee Haney had worked for Carver Pump Company since 2007, but in September 2021, he got the boot. The way it happened was this. A few days prior to his sacking, an email to a company-wide email at Carver went out to, well, everybody. It was sent from the COO, the chief operating officer, and it contained a COVID-19 pandemic update and how Carver Pump Company was going about dealing with the pandemic. That's the moment when Lee Haney, reading the email, hit reply all. You know, sometimes, in many instances, I don't use reply all a lot. Maybe y'all do. I don't. In this instance, Lee Haney shouldn't have. He hit reply all and then began furiously typing, with at least one finger. Welcome to the USSR, comrades! So his supervisor goes to him and says, "Hey, Lee! What are you doing, buddy? That's a humongous middle finger to the chief operating officer." At which point, COVIDiot, spread neck, Lee Haney says, "Yep, glad my message was received." So then they took a meeting with Lee Haney. And he said, "Well, I'm sorry if y'all felt my email response was disrespectful, but I ain't sorry I sent it." So they said, "Collect your shit. You're out of here." Which in a pandemic is not a terrible thing to do, considering that the guy was indicating that he would probably spread the disease. Well, so they fired him. Carver Pump Company of Iowa did. And then Lee Haney went right out and filed for unemployment benefits. Most states have laws that say that, you know, you can file for unemployment if you're fired, but if you were fired for cause, no unemployment. Especially if your employer contests your claim. Carver Pump Company contested this maggot's claim. And it went before an administrative law judge named Darren T. Hamilton, who said, "Nope, Lee Haney, you lose," and wrote a ruling saying that Lee Haney was pleased with the middle finger message to the COO and said, "No, you know, when he said that he didn't mean to show disrespect to the company higher-ups, that wasn't believable." But even if it was the case, as he claimed, he still created a disruption in the workplace, which was a fireable offense. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Fuck around and find out. And as it turns out, and this article comes from the Iowa Capital Dispatch, turns out there's a, and here's that complicated legal term again, shitload of people who have been fired had unemployment decisions rendered as a result of the pandemic. Let's see. Randy Boos worked at Tyson Fresh Meats in Iowa. He was a social distancing monitor. And Tyson said, "All y'all got to get the vaccine." But he said, Randy Boos said, "Well, I've done my own research and I'm concerned about its safety." So he quit and applied for unemployment. And the administrative law judge said, no unemployment for you. Kelly Still got fired from Knapp Properties. Been there for 21 years as a maintenance technician. And he was asked if he'd had his COVID-19 vaccine. He said he hadn't. The board president said it may be necessary for you to get it. Kelly Still argued and said, well, that might be illegal. And then the company put in a vaccine requirement for all employees. And then he lied to the board president and said he'd gotten the vaccine. Told other people, other residents of the property, that he hadn't. And then wouldn't provide any proof of vaccination. Knapp Properties, for whom Kelly Still worked, shit-canned him. That guy, however, did get his unemployment benefits. And it goes on and on and on. This country. This is why we can't have nice things. So we are at, I have Phil Robster away, the first hour of the program. Let's see what's going on over the river and through the woods in the old holler tree where we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable around which we gather each and every Friday. And connected. By the way, the fundraising goal is a terrifying $1,090. We can knock down 600 of it if we can just raise 300 so that Bruce's memorial challenge will be met. And thank you. Thank you so much to Ralphs and Chris in Germany and an anonymous friend who make it possible for that challenge to go forward on the first broadcast day of every new month. We'll be down to only... $490 if we can meet the challenge. And that's brutally important because, frankly, like I said, it has been a hard winter, and a whole bunch of the budget got absolutely chewed to pieces on nothing more than power bills. And there's another one coming due. And, of course, everything else that goes to keeping this program on the air. So please don't let the challenge go by the boards. Let's run over and check in with Roger. Hey, Roger, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. I'm covering for Sparky because he's off luxuriating on a lake and letting Grady swim around. So I'm filling in.
Well, I appreciate it. That's really kind of you. And thank you again for going and finding the devil put in the coal ground link.
Well, I also posted it in the regular chat room, and I really don't understand. I mean, I was on the head-on.live stream, and everything was fine, but TuneIn was playing a different program altogether.
Brother Deacon Asa says he thinks he's found it, but he can't touch it until he gets home from work. So the temporary link is up. It says backup link.
Okay, and the other thing is that the last time I checked, and I didn't want to screw around, there wasn't any link on the Horn page for the Skype group. But I did according to my thing, I've got 8 or 9 people in on the call. Some are muted, some aren't. I don't know. I'm so new at this, I can't figure everything out.
Well, we'll play it by ear and just see how it goes.
So, actually, I've got my strawberries all trimmed up and fertilized, and my pepper plants and my Wakatai and tomato plants are up in the greenhouse, but I can't put them out. Well, I can put out the kohlrabi and cauliflower and broccoli, but I can't put the tomatoes or peppers out till Mother's Day. So I'm just keeping things going.
Yeah, that's the smart money.
But that's really all I've got. I'm just sitting here surfing and digging up crap on the internet, and like the devil put the coal in the ground. Just enjoying the day. Nice and sunny here. We finally got the break in the weather. It's still cool. It's only in the low 60s, but at least I can get out and mow the lawn on occasion instead of pouring down rain.
Low 60s is what it is here in the studio right now.
Yeah, well, I just turned the heat on in my little cave. I won't call it a man cave because that would be stepping on somebody else's toes. But no, all's well.
Good, good.
Interesting news cycles we're going through and all the rest of it. I just hope that that House passed $35 insulin doesn't get done the same way the Affordable Care Act did, and that is that the ultimate user will pay the $35 and the government will pay the pharmaceutical companies whatever they want to make sure so the pharmaceutical companies don't lose any money. But we'll see what happens.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Scott.
Did you happen to see on my Facebook the other day Bette Midler's tweet about the report that Trump's phone on January 6th was inactive? He had made no calls for 7 hours.
Yeah. I was. In fact, I semi-conjured you the other day when I said that you would immediately think about Rosemary Woods.
Well, yeah. I mean, have you ever had a Rosemary Woods cocktail?
No.
I don't know what's in it, but you drink one and everything goes blank for 18 and a half. Bum, 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 bum. But let me see if I can find it on my Facebook. Because her response to Trump's excuse was in the Bette Midler tradition. Scroll. Okay, Bette Midler says, the seven-hour gap in Dunhill's phone records for the man who's never put his phone down for 7 minutes, what reason could he possibly have to offer that he'd chosen that afternoon to finally try to teach Eric to tie his shoes?
Well, that would be, I can tell you worked at that. That would be a daunting undertaking.
You know, well, yeah, it'd take more than 7 hours. That's just for the left foot. Never mind the right foot. They don't call her the Divine Miss M for nothing.
Somebody needs to tell her about my little political campaign.
That'd be good. For April Fools, also on my Facebook, and I'll post the link in the chat. In the chat, now that the back porch has opened up, in the early 2000s, there was a documentary about a guy named Alan Abel. Does that name ring any bells for you?
I don't think so.
Well, in the 60s and 70s, even the 50s, late 50s, Alan Abel was a professional prankster. He would do these elaborate hoaxes on the American public, like this group SINA, S-I-N-A, which was something about the Society to Prevent Indecency in Animals or something, where he straight-faced went on TV talk shows. I think it was even on the Today Show and the CBS Morning News, advocating on behalf of animals wearing clothes because they were running around naked and it was a bad influence on the population.
On the children's.
Yeah, on the children. But I will, in a minute, I'll post the link to watch the documentary that his daughter did in the early 2000s called Cable Raises Cain, or Abel Raises Cain. And I saw it when it first came out. It was very funny. And we need more of that. He ran an old Jewish grandmother for president, which is talked about in the film. It's just he got his jollies apparently fooling people, and I figured for April Fools that would be the film to watch, and I'm going to watch that one that you mentioned about the devil put what's it called? The devil put coal in the ground.
Devil put the coal in the ground. It comes from the title of a Steve Earle song.
Well, that makes sense then.
And there are two songs that are featured in the film. It opens with an absolutely beautiful song by Iris DeMent, who is a national treasure, called Our Town. And it closes with Steve Earle singing Devil Put the Coal in the Ground.
Well, from the way you've described it, it sounds like a film that is definitely worth everybody's time.
Well, like I said, I was sitting there weeping.
Well, yeah, and it's enough to make you weep.
Oh, and there, you know, it wasn't necessarily tears of grief, those, of course, but tears of righteous fury.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, and you would think that the religious types would buy into the notion the devil put the coal in the ground if they believe their own Bible, which they claim to believe. They believe that after the fall of Adam and Eve, if you believe the Genesis account, that the earth was corrupted because of the disobedience and willfulness of human beings. So if the earth was corrupted, then everything in it and on it and around it was therefore corrupted, which means these fuckers are enriching themselves, digging up the devil's dirt, is what it amounts to. Does that, I mean, if you believe along those lines, then you ought to incorporate that into your belief if you believe the way you say you believe. Does that make sense at all, or am I just...
No, it does. It does. You know, and,
well,
you know, the prince of this earth, right?
Yeah, yeah. I believe on hoisting them up on their own petard. And I just posted the link to Abel Raises Cain in the chat for anybody who wants to watch it. It's a funny movie. But yeah, I mean, I just turned their own arguments against them or use their own belief systems against them whenever I can, because, first of all, it's fun, and second of all, it just befuddles the fluorescent piss out of them. So, I mean, how complete can a day be if you've done that?
Yeah, when you get to the point that they're staring at you like a cow looking at a new gate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll do that just under the best of circumstances, but when you twist their little heads into or minds into a pretzel, it's like, as I often say, a monkey working a math problem, which is like the, you know, anyway.
You did it again.
Did I do it again?
Monkey working a math
problem. Yeah. I thought you had heard that Snow White on Pinocchio.
No, I'd never heard that. That murdered me.
Yeah, yeah. That's how Walt Disney really died. It wasn't from smoking cigarettes. He
lie, you wooden bastard, lie.
But anyway, I've been out of the loop a little bit this week. I get the end of the month is never a joy for me, and it seems like March went on forever. You know.
Well, that was my February. 28 of the longest days in the calendar happen in February.
Yeah, well, that's February is usually that way.
And you know, hey, it's spring. March is out like a lot. April Fools, because it's not. There was a National Weather Service squall warning today in my neck of the woods. I can't remember the last time there was a squall warning. I thought that was something you got on Cape Cod or something.
That's right, neighbor. The Gloucester fishermen don't like them squalls. No, we won't go out in it.
Mrs. Paul's squalls.
Yes. Mrs. Paul and her fish.
And Pepperidge Farm remembers.
That's right, neighbor. Got the horses hooked to the wagon, and we're going to be delivering bread.
Hitch old Dobbin to the shay.
What was that guy's name that did those commercials? He was...
Mason, no, was it not Mason Adams? Was
no,
it?
He played,
oh God, we're going to go down this road again.
Just briefly, a little cut off here off the highway.
The Schlossen cut off.
Yeah, but don't cut and watch out for that fork in the road. But and you can't miss it. But he played Titus Moody on the Fred Allen radio show, and now I got to explain who Fred Allen was. Parker Fennelly, I think his name was. Look that up, Parker. F-E-N-N-E-L-Y or something. That's right, Neva. I don't hold to know. I'm a Yankee through and through. God, stop me.
I know. Well, I tried.
Yeah, that's right, Neva. There was a DJ in D.C. back when I was a senior in high school, a guy named Johnny Holiday.
Rick, and, turn off your video. Nobody wants to see that.
Did I turn my video on?
No, Rick is sitting there grinning like a. I'm not going
to
say what.
Well,
he said.
Rick has a right to grin. Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. We're in San Diego, actually.
Oh dear. Oh,
we're staying at Old Town.
I sensed a disturbance in the force.
Are you taking Scott out for dinner?
I don't know. How far away are you from North Marriott in Old Town?
I'm not too terribly far from it. I wish I had gotten some notice because I.
I know how y'all just gonna roll up in San Diego and just say, "Oh, so Scott, are you available for dinner?" That's so
well,
nice of you.
I'll have to take a rain check. I don't.
Well,
think
you know. It's kind of hard to make plans when you got to pull an all-nighter to finish an assignment. So I'm like, I'm a little punchy here.
Well, take a nap.
I will. I don't nap. That's the thing.
Look, I took a nap. I took a nap today because I had to go to a vascular surgeon because the stupid swelling in my legs and my podiatrist was like kind of freaked out. I said, dude, ain't shit to do about it. I know what it is. But to keep for you to shut the fuck up, I will go because my insurance will pay for it. Because if I had a copay, I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
But you know, they did the ultrasound, which hurt like a motherfucker. It's just it's lymphedema. There's nothing you can do about that shit. It's
fluid buildup, right?
It's fluid, and it's my lymph nodes, they're not circulating the way and so I mean there's just nothing I can do about it, but yeah, the whole experience is fucking excruciating, and I'm like, so I got put through pain for nothing. Hey, but the doctor was cute, like, again, not doing me any good because first of all, man, and second of all, I'm married, so
there you go.
Not doing anything, so that part. I didn't go quite down a movie rabbit hole last night because I couldn't sleep. So I woke up and then I actually finally saw a Tennessee Williams movie adaptation that I had never seen. Sweet Bird of Youth. Holy shit. What a pot boiler. Robin, have you seen that one?
I don't think I have.
My God. Holy crap. First of all, I kept looking at this man, kept looking at this guy. I'm like, I know this man, but I have no idea who it is. And then I was looking, and it was fucking Rip Torn. I have never in a million years seen Rip Torn as a young man.
You know, isn't Paul Newman in that also?
Oh, God. Well, yeah, Paul Newman. Wasn't he in every single one of them?
Yeah, but, I think so.
Yeah, Rip Torn. It was Ed Begley. And his, evil as I am black, so that's pretty fucking evil. Geraldine Page, she wasn't young. She was probably she's probably in her mid-40s, but I've never seen her that young. And Shirley Knight, again, never seen her young. So, it was a good one. It was a good one, and I watched Black Orpheus, which was perfect because I was sweating bullets, y'all, because I have I'm taking Greek and Roman mythology, and I had to find a modern take or adaptation of a Greek myth. And I was going to do, I think I said earlier, Odysseus as comparison to Ralph Ellison, The Invisible Man. Invisible Man. And I just don't have the time to go through that not that bullshit, but I don't have the time or the energy. And then I remember Black Orpheus. And just so happens it's on Turner Classic Movies and it's on HBO Max. And if anybody doesn't know, Black Orpheus is was made in 1959, and it's set in Brazil during Carnival, and it's the take on the Orpheus and, help me out, Robin, what's the chick's name?
Eurydice,
right. And now the movie itself is kind of problematic because you have the happy brown and black Brazilians, in the favelas, just happy, it does show the poverty, but it doesn't show the true poverty. And it just basically makes it, them looking like they're just singing dance all day while waiting for, carnival and, stuff like that, which is horrible. And of course, because it wasn't made by Brazilians. It was made in Brazil, but directed and produced by a French producer and writer. So you can only, and it was definitely the fetishization of black people. But the music was good, half and ever. They're like, oh, this is the beginning of bossa nova, a music that was born out of the favelas in Brazil. Wrong, no. Bossa nova, there's samba, yes, but bossa nova, no. Bossa nova was more so that music, it really white, middle class music. It wasn't the music, of the people in the favelas. So we got that. But the beautiful part about this, that the people that were acting, it was all brown and black people, Brazilian people, and they were part of like a actor's workshop at the time. The guy who played Orpheus was actually a famous soccer player. The guy who played Death or Hades was he was another athlete, and he was a triple jumper. But it was, if you take aside the problematic nature of it, it is actually a beautifully shot movie. And it actually won Best Picture Oscar for Best Foreign Film. Of course, the people who, the music and all that and the actors, they didn't really make a dime from it. Of course, the white people did, but, that's a whole other conversation.
But, well, hey, Tracy, mm-hmm. Just a quick question. In addition to all the singing and dancing, I assume they were also getting waxed?
What? What?
Shut up, yeah, Christopher.
Oh, God. Oh, God. No, really? Did you really? Wow. Okay, I'm doing the audible groan. Really? Audible groan / eye roll on that one, bro.
I about fell out of my chair.
Were they getting waxed? No, actually, they were getting their blowouts and waxed. If you're gonna go there, why leave out the blowouts too, Chris?
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah,
I'll tune in for that.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Bingo.
But of course, the movie upset the Brazilian people for the way they were portrayed, and there was a remake in 2000 by a Brazilian writer director. But of course, you can't. I went to look for it, and the only way you can get it is to pay like $60 or $70 for it on Amazon. Because, you know, Amazon. Because they control the world.
Hey, Tracy?
Yes?
Y'all keep it rolling for a minute. I got to run into the house for a sec.
Okay, what?
Okay. Bring me back a can of beer. You were talking about samba and bossa nova music.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that there was an album in 1962, a guitarist from D.C. called Charlie Bird and mm-hmm. a saxophonist Stan Getz recorded mm-hmm. One of the first popular samba, bossa nova type albums, jazz albums, in All Souls Unitarian Church in D.C., which was a big anti-war and community action place,
really?
In addition to being a church in D.C., and it was recorded there. And it gained popularity because a guy named Felix Grant on a D.C. radio station had a jazz show every night. And really, in a real way, that type of music got its launch in terms of popularity, mainstream, from its D.C. connection, both as the recording place and the guy on the radio who said, people need to hear this record.
Well, so, I've heard of those two guys, but I had no idea about the genesis of the music. Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
The guy who was the head of All Souls Unitarian Church back then, in the 60s, was a Father Wendt, W-E-N-D-T, an older gentleman with curly white hair. And he was like a very progressive, socially active participant in anti-war and poverty programs and stuff. And it's nice to see that you know, it holds a place in music as well as social action. And he's been gone for years, but when you said that, it made me think of that record, which I need to add to my playlist because I used to have the album, but I don't have a record player.
Speaking of churches and social action, out here on April the 4th, they did it last year because I actually wrote a paper about it. Doing a reading on the April the 4th, which is the 54 year anniversary of the assassination of MLK, and yeah. they're reading his his speech that he gave at the Riverside Church, his anti-Vietnam speech
1 year before they blew him away.
I mean, the man knew he knew his days were numbered.
Oh, yeah, that speech sealed his fate. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, like how, I mean, same as Malcolm X. Knowing there are certain people, and Fred Hampton, same thing. These men knew that because of who they were and the work that they were trying to do and did, their days were numbered.
Well, there's a line that it's all well and good to let black folks ride in the front of the bus, but don't be fucking with our war effort and our war machine.
You know, and don't be getting people all up and uppity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so as long as you're dealing with just the quote unquote the Negro issues, okay, we'll let you slide, half and ever. When you start building coalitions and start getting other folks to work together, especially like with Fred Hampton. I mean, when you could go to in Chicago and talk to, you know, hillbillies that migrated from Appalachia and convince them to work with him, with not only black, too? What? Seriously?
Well, that's what Martin Luther King was working on right before he died, was the Poor People's Campaign,
absolutely,
which brought together everybody. Did you know I was at that march in 68? The Poor People's March, the one that
really?
he died when he was getting making the plans for that. Yeah, I was 14.
Wow.
It was a big year for me. I was with some folks at the Pentagon, in the fucking Pentagon, back when the shopping concourse was open to the public. Peace group, all of them went to court. I went to court with them. I didn't get arrested. And a couple of months later, I was at the Poor People's Campaign. Because, when I was a youngster, I was taught in the Catholic schools to do what Jesus did. And I think if Jesus was around, he would be helping the poor people and keeping the wars from happening.
Most definitely.
Made sense to me. I mean, but yeah. I still got my button from one of the anti-war marches I went to in 69 when I flipped off J. Edgar Hoover.
I still have my original nuclear disarmament button from the 1959 gathering at Trafalgar Square in London.
Oh, wow. I know that button.
Where Bertrand Russell came to speak.
Yeah. Damn.
It's the common, quote, peace button, unquote.
Yeah.
But yeah, it truly stands for nuclear disarmament.
Right on.
Tidbits of trivia. It's the semaphore signals for N and D superimposed that symbol is.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I'll be damned. They tried to make the establishment, so-called, they referred to the peace symbol as the chicken foot.
Yeah.
Because the people who wore it were wussies and chickens and anti-war twerps.
But I still have fun frequently when I see somebody wearing it around their neck or a lady with the earrings on or whatever to ask them if they know what that symbol really means. Oh, yeah, it's the peace sign. And then I give them the spiel about, no, it was created in 1958 and popularized in 1959 at the Aldermaston to London Nuclear Disarmament March, and it's the semaphore signals for N and D superimposed. And they go, oh, no shit, no shit.
Do you want to hear one of the most heartbreaking things I ever saw about 20, 25 years ago? I saw a youngster, compared to me, everybody's a youngster, at a rally holding a sign which he thought was the peace sign. And it was, in fact, the Mercedes-Benz symbol, which is not exactly the peace sign. Close, but no cigar. And I didn't have the heart to say anything because, well, he means well. And I'm thinking, God, we're not teaching our young ones as they're coming up. We're not instructing them in the proper ways because the Mercedes-Benz emblem is not the peace symbol.
Well, if you'd been like 45, you could have whipped out your Sharpie and made it correct.
Oh, yeah. Sharpie's answer to everything, Roger. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, it'll even make hurricanes move.
Yeah, you draw a little Hitler mustache on old Trumpty-dum. But does anybody believe that he didn't touch his phone for 7 hours on January 6th? I do not.
I don't either. And the thing that gets to me is we went fucking nuts over, what, 18 minutes of Nixon's tape? It was about 18 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, the influence.
The Watergate 18, tapes?
18 and a half minute gap, which okay. Was, when they studied it, was done with no less than 5 manual erasures of that portion of the tape.
Yeah, okay.
So but go ahead.
Anyhow, we went apeshit over the missing minutes on that tape. We've gone totally apeshit over missing emails on a private server, which happens to be the only server that wasn't infiltrated by hackers over that time period that server was in use. And we've gone apeshit over Hunter Biden's laptop, and the only people that have anything are copies of the hard drive, and they're so fucked up nobody can figure out what's really right and what really isn't. And absolute total silence over 7.5 hours of missing phone call records in the White House when the testimony has already been presented by people before the January 6th committee stating they had telephone calls with Trump during that 7.5 hours. And yeah, I want to know why Fox News isn't just going fucking nuts. I mean, I know why they're not, but over the fact of 7.5 hours of missing logs plus 15 boxes filled with some, not all of them, but some of them, of classified material that was stolen out of the White House and illegally transferred to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, the hypocrisy is befuddling. And as you've heard me speak before, I have some maggot Facebook-type friends. And they just are just so – it's like trying to pound fossils into a chunk of cement or something. I mean, to try to get through to these people just does not work.
Well, I don't
know. Raj, I have a question for you. Why do you – okay, you just said you have Facebook friends that are maggots. Why are you still friends with these people?
Actually, there's only one that I'm friends with, and it's a lady that I first met up on my first day of kindergarten, and we went to a semi-private public school where we had 25 students in each class, and 17 of the 25 people that started kindergarten graduated eighth grade, and then we graduated high school together, and I'm good friends with her brother, and when you're 77 years old and there's somebody you've known for 72 of those 77 years, I'm not about to shit can. I just poke, and her friends who are maggots respond to me, and I poke them with facts, and they tell me I'm all fucked up and they don't believe me and I'm a liar and the rest of it, but partly it's entertainment. But
I mean, I guess like you said, you're a 77-year-old man, and like you said, you have a finite amount of time left on this earth. Why even bother with these? I mean, not your friend, but why even engage these people? Any of them? Because I no longer engage. I didn't really engage both. I mean, I'm not really even on Facebook or pretty much hardly any social media other than, like, seriously, I can't remember the last time I posted on Facebook other to announce my graduation date. And that's about it. But it's just to me.
Guess, Tracy,
I was talking about it. I was just, can I finish my thought? Because you know how when you get older, you start talking and then somebody interrupts you. You forget what the heck you were saying, because I know I do, and I know you're older, so it probably happens to you a little bit more often. No, not you know, gooning on you because of your age. But it's just, my thing is, these people aren't, like I said, in my case, people aren't worth the effort. I had this thing with my aunt who got she's not a maggot, thank God, but she's kind of an idiot. And she upset me to the point I was in tears. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why am I letting this person who is supposed to love and care about me upset me to the point of tears? There's so much going on in this world. And we have so few moments of peace. And just trying to prove that we're more intelligent or, you know, because like you said, they don't believe anything that you're saying. It's a waste of your time. And, you know, I'm like, you're a learned individual, but why bother? It's just, I mean, I'm really thinking that casting your pearls before swine kind of thing. I mean, unless you enjoy arguing just for the sake of arguing or just showing off how much you know. But seriously, though, I mean, I am trying desperately. Like I shut down what I went through with my aunt, and I've gone through with Mag. Like I have a maggot that lives around the corner from me that has his, you know, go, you know, go Brandon and Trump 2024, but then, you know, flags, you know, waving in his front yard. But then when you open his garage, because Sam, this is how, you know, they're so, they love their stuff so much, but when he keeps the garage door closed, but there, every so often when his garage door is open, he has his, you know, Biden flag going. And I'm like, why bother with these people? Seriously. And I, you know, so I really want to know, why do we even bother? Why should we even engage with people who aren't even worth our time, who don't even have the intelligence or anything to carry our slop jars? Why waste your time?
Well, Tracy, I guess it comes down to the fact that I spent over 20 years teaching in a classroom at a public school. And before I did that, I taught people other things like how to drive a truck and shit like that. And there's just a bit of a teacher in me that feels that no person is worthless, and that if one can find the right key, one can begin to get people to understand and learn. And even though I've had failures in my 20 years teaching in the classroom and couldn't save everybody, I did work at saving the most people I could to put them on the right path to an education to be able to become productive members of society. And at this point in my life, I have not abandoned the fact that if one presents people with sufficient number of facts, please let me finish. If one presents people with...
Of all these people, I'm sorry if I'm being argumentative, but I'm just tired of us wasting our time trying to get through to these people. So of all these people that you've...
Well, that's a little bit different between you and me, Tracy. I will take the time. You asked me to hold off so that you could speak, and I held off. And now you are working very diligently at interrupting me.
Because I would love it if this was in fact true. But has any of them said, you know what, I was...
Where'd Tracy go? Continue, Roger.
Not me. Not me. I did not mute her.
No, but where? But no, continue, please. I mean, I get what she's saying.
She left on my screen.
I guess. Huh.
I think I heard some background. I think something unhooked for her or something. Maybe.
Roger.
But
yes, I like what you're.
She's back.
I like what your sentiment is in terms of having a key, finding a key, but a key, as good as a key could ever be, it will not operate a rusty lock. You've got to do something about the lock before you can use the key.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand Tracy's point, because, you know, for some reason or another, the other day I was thinking about, you know, when did we first get the internet? And, you know, in those early days, you know, getting into heated debates with Republicans was exciting. It was thrilling. And then but after a while, I walked away from it. I just, I learned the phrase, and I learned their behavior. There are a couple of pop culture-ish terms, one of which is time vampire. You know, a vampire sucks out your blood, but a time vampire just eats up the precious finite time of your existence. And that goes, I think, to what Tracy was saying. The other term I learned is sea lioning. And you can, you know, it's a pop culture term that has its own little, well, it's got a definition, but it's got its own little universe. And when you become sensitive to sea lioning, you realize that you're never going anywhere, and that while Roger, you say, you know, you didn't want to leave anybody, there are people who want to be left behind. You know, I think about the principal thrust of don't look up. And it was perfect. It explained our situation so thoroughly.
Well, there's another one, and this comes from my work when I was working as a packer. Sometimes you can control a horse or mule by sweet-talking them. Sometimes you have to get a little bit rough, and sometimes you just need to pick up a bigger 2x4. And there are times that I respond with a 2x4, and sometimes I put out a bowl of honey. And it's just my nature. And
well, I mean, there are. I've got a small handful of people who are Trump supporters that are still my friends. I tend to think of them as misguided. I mean, they're all over the portion of the world where I have lived most of my life. There are people whose grandparents and great-grandparents are spinning in their graves because their descendants are Republicans. They think that they have something in common with people, powerful people, who hate their guts. Some of those people are reachable. A lot of them aren't. Because they have been Claudius pouring poison into Hamlet Sr.'s ear. They have been ruined by what they have been subjected to. You know, I had that clip from Newsmuck earlier. Whenever I see one of those, whatever it is that they're freaking out about, I think about the people who are watching and nodding their heads. You know, we've got this long-running gag on this program about Emery and Marvelline sitting in their matching Barca loungers in the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club. Yep, Marvelline, he's right. You know, they're indoctrinating our children into transness. They're trans in our babies. And there's not a word of truth in it, and it doesn't even withstand the most basic scrutiny. But that doesn't slow them down. And for people who want to be led, people of an authoritarian mindset, they will consume it lock, stock, and barrel, and they become irredeemable. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to go back to, y'all were talking about the so-called peace sign. Scott, you might, when I was a child growing up, I was told that I was to never, ever, ever use that symbol because it was satanic.
The sign of a broken cross.
The broken cross.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
yes.
about that.
The
I forgot
broken
about,
cross.
I knew that, but I forgot about it.
Yeah. The upside down broken cross.
Yeah, don't get caught up in the devil's handiwork, Robin.
No Ouija boards either.
That's how I order my pizza.
Getting back to irredeemable people, I was over at the VA clinic today finding out when they're going to start giving out the fourth shots and told sometime next week. But I parked in behind a SUV that had pulled through, and in the back window there was this little message. And I can't quote it exactly, but basically was, the only difference between Biden and Hillary Clinton is Hillary has a bigger dick.
And see, that's a derivative of something that the Pineapple Prince, Rush Limbaugh, perpetuated during the Clinton years. My friends, have you heard about the Hillary Clinton special at KFC? It's two small breasts and a left wing. Ha, 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 ha. My friends, have you heard why Hillary doesn't wear miniskirts? She doesn't want people to see her balls. Ha, ha, ha. And you know, well, the casual misogyny of the right wing knows no bounds.
The other thing is, when I talk about Facebook friends, I have friends, I have acquaintances, and then there are Facebook friends. and Facebook friends isn't the same thing as a friend or an acquaintance. That's a total another number. So although I've known Nita for 72 years, the only time we've ever fraternized, I guess is the right word, is at high school reunions. I've never been to her house for dinner. She's never been to mine. We've never had lunch together. I mean, it's always been some kind of an organized activity. So when I say a Facebook friend, I do not mean a bosom pal friend.
Right. No, Facebook friend is a term of art.
So I don't consider her a friend. She tries to consider me a friend because we've known each other forever and she will never unfriend me, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Most of the people from my youth who I was a Facebook friend with have unfriended me, or in the case of my brother-in-law, he couldn't figure out how to unfriend me, so he asked me to unfriend him, which I acceded to. But,
okay, that's fun. That's just
that's
funny.
That's really funny.
I really want to unfriend you, but I don't know how. Would you unfriend me first, please?
Yep, that's exactly how it happened.
Speaking of unfriending, and maybe it's just me, there are people on my friends list who have gotten caught up in the cult of Wordle, and they think...
Oh, stop, stop. You're going to get me in trouble.
I'm sorry. I put five words for my Wordle friends, my Wordle-obsessed friends, and it's a 15-letter... a conglomeration of letters, but I broke them down into five words a piece. Get a fucking grip. And if they don't like it, they're perfectly free to unfriend me.
There's what the hell is Wordle? I don't understand it.
It's a puzzle. It's a five letter word, and you just kind of have to guess. And you enter your first guess, and it'll tell you via color coding whether the letters are in the word, if they are in the right position or the wrong position.
Green is the right position, yellow is the wrong position, and blank is, it's not in the word.
Right.
It's for people who didn't have any luck diagramming Sarah Palin sentences. This is sort of their fallback position.
I look at it as a sort of a verbal Sudoku, which I also don't do. Do you remember the Sudoku craze?
Do Vanna White and Pat Sajak pop up on your Zoom while you're doing this Wordle?
Well, I love Sudokus.
Pat Sajak can kiss my white fat white ass.
Oh, I saw a meme the other day that just made me laugh. It was melanoma trying to guess a Wheel of Fortune puzzle. And
oh my God.
And every letter was filled in. Trump lost the E blank E C T I O N. And the picture of melanoma is just sitting there with this wry look on her face. Trump lost the.
And they get.
I'd like to solve, Pat. I'd like to solve the puzzle, Pat.
Yes, but he takes pills now. He's fine.
I just look because it took me a second.
And I'm. But
and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I went. Well, wait a minute. I get it.
I'm a little baby mushroom, short and stout.
And I'm sorry if any of the horns are
weird. Did you guys see that?
Go, Tracy. Oh, Tracy accidentally muted herself. This has been a technically challenging program this evening. Oh, and by the way, we're so screwed. We're almost into the third hour of the program. The fundraising hole is 1,000 and $1,070, and we have $280 of a challenge remaining for Bruce's Memorial Challenge for the first broadcast day of the month. And wow, yeah, we're kind of bupkis, and I sure understand why, but it comes at considerable, it creates a considerable degree of angst on the part of yours truly, because, you know, for 18 years we've lived from month to month, and when months start like this, it gets really tense. So if anybody wants to help out, yay, thank you Jeremy in Vermont. So $30 of the of Bruce's Memorial Challenge has now been met. 270 to go. Thank you, Jeremy. Tracy, did you unmute? I heard "did you see," and then you went away.
The kid forgot to open up the greenhouse this morning before he left for work, so I had to go down and open up the greenhouse so it didn't get too hot. So I posted a couple of pictures in the chat side of the greenhouse for all you non-legal marijuana-type folk. That's one picture's one side, the other picture's the other side, and that's about half the plants that are going to go out in the field this year.
Hey, Roger, these days, what's the yield? What's the yield been recently?
I have no idea. Are you talking
you
about
don't know?
The price per pound or the yield per
plant?
No,
just the amount, you know, tonnage or whatever, the amount he's pulling.
I don't have a handle with that.
You don't know?
Nope.
You don't ask him?
No, that's his business. All I know is he's not making any money because his mommy keeps being the bank.
Oh, well, that's great.
Well, I looked at that picture, and I'm going to channel my inner Slim Pickens. Why, shoot, a fella could have a pretty good time.
I'm in Vegas with this.
Damn. My.
Damn, how many blunts can we make out of those?
Oh, this is just the greenery on them. They've got to grow out in the field and bloom and all the rest of that shit. This won't be harvested till October.
Ooh. Oh, go ahead.
No, what I was trying to say about, you know, now that we've gotten past the Wheel of Fortune thing. But anyway, there was a puzzle a few weeks back, and I guess there was a bunch of millennials or maybe younger. There was one letter left. It was feather in your... And it was feathering your cap, but none of them had heard that phrase, and they were saying map, lap, no one.
Really, feather in your lap? That would tickle.
Well, considering the line of work I used to be in, who knows? Yeah. But anyhow, So not what? No one solved that puzzle. It was the one letter left. There was only one letter left, and out of the three contestants, no one solved the puzzle.
Wow.
There's only a certain number of vowels in the alphabet.
No, it wasn't the vowels. Every letter was there except for the one. It was the M. And they were saying cap, lap, everything. I forget what somebody else, I don't know, but they didn't no feather in your cap.
Jesus.
I was like, wow. But they've never heard that phrase before, and I was like, what the?
I always thought the Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy were kind of like the polar opposites of game shows.
Yes.
And created by the same person.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
We got a game show for the really, really smart people. And we've got a game show for the people who buy concrete hippopotamuses. Because how many people remember the early form of Wheel of Fortune where they went shopping?
Horrible.
Where they went shopping.
That ugly Dalmatian.
That ugly Dalmatian.
Look at this studio filled with fabulous prizes.
And of course, I remember Dustin Hoffman repeating the line in Rain Man.
Yeah.
Honey, bank it! Bank it!
Where's old Chuck?
Don't buy the leopard print ginger jar!
I'm just glad they changed the concept of the show, because that shit was hideous. These people. I love it when I'm behind somebody that often is like, "Oh, I'm gonna stop at a yellow light."
Yellow means proceed with caution. It does not mean speed up.
That means.
But no, by the way,
it also does not mean come to, slam on your brakes.
For Tracy and for Robin, I have a goodie update for you.
Yes.
I will be your goodies. Each of you will be winging their way westward and further westward, or northward, I guess.
Northward for me.
Tonight. I meant to do the orders last night, but I didn't do them.
Oh, by the way, watch your mail.
My mail?
Yes.
My mail?
No, Scott's.
Now, I've been taking heart medicine. I want to be prepared for this.
No, don't worry. It's not a snake in a box or anything.
Okay, good. God damn, don't do that.
Studio serpent? No, you sent that to Scott?
No, I sent Scott Sally the studio stink bug.
Oh no!
Nice, excellent.
Just what I need.
Well, she climbed in the box, and I figured, what the hell? Let's give her a trip.
Yeah,
bug to keep the squirrels company.
They may stop it at the border, though. We're very touchy about plants and insects
coming into California.
Yeah. Well, I will watch my mailbox.
It should be there no later than Monday.
Shit, things are turning around for me then.
So my friend came up just for the evening. We went out to dinner, and then we had a double feature at Shea Citro. And we watched King Richard. And then we watched One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And King Richard, I thought, was absolutely spectacular. And, need I say more about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? So that was an enjoyable evening. Have you seen it, Tracy?
But One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or King Richard?
Oh, but either one. Well, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, God. What is it? I'm thinking. About that, that violence that is brought on because this, deserve it. Violence. I mean, if there's ever such a thing, Nurse Ratched got what she deserved. I would have strangled the bitch.
Oh,
a long
man,
time
you talk about one of the Mount Rushmore movie villains of all time. It's got to be Nurse Ratched. My God.
I mean, but here's the scary part. It's going to be there's a whole generation of folk. That if I call you Nurse Ratched or just Ratched, they're gonna look at me like, "What are you talking about?"
Huh?
Well,
like the feather in the cap.
What?
Yeah, huh? What?
No. Yeah.
That's the thing. I've been noticing more and more that so many of my pop culture references are lost on anyone under 50.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Chris, for bringing it up. King Richard, but like you said, the pop culture reference. Of, G.I. Jane, too. It's like, for God's sakes, 1990, what was that movie made?
Shit, I can't remember. 90s, right? Yeah, early 90s, you're saying?
I don't even remember. It was in the 90s, mm-hmm. And it's like, first of all, so Demi Moore is not even a name star anymore. Nobody even cares about her, which is sad, but this is a fact.
That's how Hollywood works.
That's how Hollywood works.
In particular, it's how Hollywood treats women.
Treats women. And then let alone how they treat black women. Oh, God, don't get me started. Like, when my sister and I...
97. Yeah, it came out.
Married to the Republican. I forget sometimes that there's a three generations...
Yeah, Tracy?
Between my mother, me, and my sister. And we had this... We didn't argue... But we had this whole, we were talking about, not Slappergate, but I said all these things about, the whole thing. I said, all that aside, nobody's talking about how they had Regina Hall portraying the thirsty single black woman, you know, and, you know, the over-sexualized black woman by calling single men up on the stage and saying, I'm going to test you for COVID with my tongue.
Ugh.
And it's even more upsetting that not only was Will Packer, who was the brother, black man, but the entire production team was black. And how do you portray a black woman? By having her call up men and saying this, and then and patting down Jason Momoa and Josh Brolin? Really, y'all? You know how they, you know, and you didn't you not just go see what, you know, KJB, you know, KJB.
Hey, Tracy, Jeremy posted G.I. Jane was 97.
Yeah, it came out Memorial Day weekend, 1997.
Well, that makes sense because it's a patriotic movie, you know, and so it's like, I'm more upset about that than the slap, personally. But it's these things, you know, the things that, again, I read this article, I got to find it. Malcolm X is in defense of black women. Malcolm X did, and I didn't even realize that when he did the speech, he was here in L.A. And it says the most maligned, the most unprotected, he just went on and on. It's the black woman. You know, and just the most mistreated, the most this and this and this, is the black woman. And so when you think about all this, and then you know, think about how these black women were portrayed on a show that was for the first time produced and written and all this by black folk. Talk about misogyny in the law.
If we keep two senators, Democratic senators in Georgia, it's going to be all on the shoulders of black women.
That's
we had an Alabama senator for a very brief moment in time because of black women.
Yep.
I've got a question. Not a question, but a thought that occurred to me earlier this week, because it seems to me the only purpose that the Oscars incident served was to give us a break for a couple of days as the main story not being Ukraine, the war porn. Okay, so there was that. So it did have some positive benefit. But wasn't it two or three Oscar seasons ago that the problem with the Oscars was there were no black folks in movies? And now here we are. You know, and what is Chris Rock's, what was the last movie Chris Rock made?
That's a good question.
I would be curious about that. I mean, at least.
Would that be the hair documentary?
That would be the documentary about black women's hair.
Yeah, see,
and what year was that?
He hasn't done a movie. He did an arc, Fargo. It was set.
That was good. I enjoyed that.
That was black gangsters going against the Italian man.
Yes, yes, I liked it. I thought it was great.
And he was exceptional.
Yes, he was. Everybody in that cast. Unbelievable.
But I tell you what. Some of this, and you know, Brother Deacon Asa was steadfast in his assertion that it was all set up, and. Of course, I didn't think it was. There are still questions I'd like to have answered. I would like to know if that was a written joke or an ad lib.
Well, and also.
But the other thing, hold on, Scott. The other thing that tripwired my paranoid hackles was the fact that within 2 days of the event, Chris Rock is out there talking up his coming tour.
There you go. And it's not without precedent. Remember the Super Bowl and Janet's nipple. That was
the footage of the slap heard around the world is being analyzed more intensely than the fucking
Zapruder film. Yes.
And it's like, what the hell is going on? Aren't there things going on in this world that sort of take precedence?
Well, Scott, there was one thing that went around, and I just kind of wish I was putting brain power into this, but there was one fake that went around that purported to show that Chris Rock had a pad on his face.
Yeah, we're on the train to Crazy Town.
It wasn't true, but you know. There is a significant portion of the American populace that will gobble up any wackadoodle conspiracy theory that is put before them. I mean, look, yeah. we've got empirical evidence from back when Genghis Khan said that Ted Cruz is creepy, and he is a creepy old dude, but said that Genghis Khan said that Ted Cruz's pappy was in on the JFK assassination for sake.
Yeah,
don't forget about the Pizzagate pedophile parlor.
Right. They're flying out there one or two a day because somebody, the syphilis bear or whatever it is over in Mother Russia has figured out that the American people will fall for just about anything. I mean, it's like during the 2016 disinformation war. You know, they weren't just working the maggot side of the aisle. The most trafficked Black Lives Matter Facebook page was run out of Mother Russia.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, Robin. Just last night, I rewatched on HBO Max the movie or series, the limited series, The Comey Rule. And they talk about just that thing in both the 16 and the 2020 elections of Russia putting its grubby little hand into our process. And it worries me to death that we've got 2022 coming up with the midterms later this year, and then we've got 2024 with Trump waiting in the wings, and they're not through with us.
No, because it works.
Exactly.
They're doubling down on, the Reefer Madness, right? I mean, that's all I heard today. So is that going to be a winner for them in the midterms?
Only if we let it.
Well, I mean, no, the Reefer, that, you know, I was talking about that at the beginning of the program. 91% of the American people want it to either be legal for medical or recreational use.
Yeah, get right. But also 96% of the people want guns, some sort of gun.
Oh, but you gotta understand how right-wing messaging works. Because they have message discipline. They stay on message relentlessly. So, you know, sometime next week or the week after, the message will be the Democrats in Congress want to legalize weed because that's the best way to trans your kindergartner.
Yeah, they'll link those two together. Dr. Seuss, he smoked a lot of pot, right? Yeah.
Here. Oh, and by the way, I do have to interrupt for just a minute because we're dying. I mean, this is awful. We are down to 1,070 to go to finish. Let's see, that would be today, Thursday, Wednesday, and $170 of Tuesday. That's how far behind we are. And when there are matching challenges on the table, that will not happen if we do not meet the goal. It's like not being kicked once, but being kicked twice. And so, Ralph's one of the wonderful people who helps make Bruce's memorial challenge, and I miss Bruce every day. I think he would have been okay with my transition, and at least I hope so. But, you know, he funded the challenge up until he passed, and then the torch was picked up by others. And so Ralphs, who is part of the funding for Bruce's memorial challenge, said simply, come on, people, please, make me pay. How much more profound can that get? Of course, you know, with the technical difficulties we had this evening, the front porch may be the only people who are listening right now. I don't know. But y'all are so kind and so good, and I hate to do this, but I have to if we want this to continue. And you know, I don't talk about half of the. I don't talk about half of the of what all goes into that. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm telling you, I don't understand. I mean, I know times are difficult. I know we just went through a pandemic, and before that, 4 years of Trump. But I hate to bang the drum about the 60s, but we had a saying back then, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And you don't have to be a mega zillionaire to be part of the solution. A lot of people
$5 will make a
world of difference.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to preach, but I'm just telling you, folks, let's do this thing. See, never mind. I'm not going to say that.
Well, excuse me, Robin.
Yes?
Oh, Lord, excuse me. Sorry. Hi. How much is the Memorial Challenge anyway? I don't think I've ever known how much it is.
It's one day's funding. So it's the Bruce's Memorial Challenge is always $300 for the first broadcast day of the month.
So it doubles.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you so much. We are down to 10-10. 10-10. And,
okay, so...
No, 10-20. 10-20. Sorry, 10-20.
I haven't done this in a minute because I haven't really been on the show and, popping in and all that. So I'm going to do the Tracy Porter spiel that I've done. And here we go. Now, listen here now, y'all. Come on now. And like Robin said, there's technical difficulties going on, so God only knows how many people are actually listening to the show at this moment. But I'm actually speaking to them, you know, the ones that are listening, and also, of course, to the people who will be listening to the podcast, you know, over the weekend and then into
Monday. Overnight crew, right?
So, you know, the overnight crew. So, you guys, you know, as Scott pointed out, we are, you know, times are tough right now, and I understand it completely. People are struggling and stuff like that, but I know there's some members of the Horn family who are not struggling, and I'm one of them. Okay, I have been blessed. I don't have, you know, it's not like I'm not a baller in any shape, form, or fashion. And if this fool hits me.
Uh-huh. Don't hit Tracy.
Well, and then a little fake smart car, because I saw them coming out of an alley, and I'm like, and they were flying, and I stopped just because I, you know, and he's on his phone with the... holding the phone like he's holding a mic, and I'm like, dude, you know, there's no reason at this point that people do not have a Bluetooth or they're talking through their car phone. I mean, car, you know, Bluetooth in their radio. Okay, never mind. I digress. At this point, I'm talking to the people. I'm not talking to my brothers and sisters of the Horn or my non-binary trans people and all this who are listening to this show that are struggling. I'm talking to the people who are going on trips, spending money on all sorts of, you find money for what you want to do. If somebody that you really were enjoying was coming into town in a concert, I guarantee you, you would have the money to go to that concert. If, you know, somebody, like this year is the 50th anniversary of the Godfather, you know, the first Godfather. And I guarantee you, if you are a huge Godfather fan, you are buying the heck out of the 50th anniversary editions of memorabilia, Godfather memorabilia, and all that sort of stuff. Francis Ford Coppola don't need a goddamn dime. He okay. I'm pretty sure he He got a couple of dollars in the bank. He don't need your money. You know, it's the 60th anniversary of something else. Oh, yeah, 60th anniversary of West Side Story. All these, you know, all these things that we find money for. Or when we, you know, some rare thing or some, whatever the case may be. We find stuff, money for the stuff that we want. Okay? But let's find stuff, money for the stuff that we need. We need this show. Robin needs this show. Robin needs this money to keep this, to sustain this show. It's not, this is not a hobby. This is not something, you know, she's not Stephanie Miller and all these other people who, you know, if she was Stephanie Miller, we wouldn't be able to hear this content. We would only be able to hear part of the content. We would, you know, because I'm pretty sure a lot of these people's content are behind a paywall. And I'm pretty sure there's people that are listening to this show who pay to listen to Stephanie Miller, who pay to listen to other people.
Damn, yeah.
You know, that part. But it's how come? I'm talking truth. But why come the half another when it comes to our girl Robin, she can't get the same kind of love? I can't really say because I still got people in the car. But y'all know me well enough to know. But that's some, you know, it's ridiculous. So, my point is, if you guys can, you know, and I'm pretty sure Stephanie Miller don't need no money. I'm pretty sure she don't. I mean, I don't know the woman personally, you know, and I don't know her finances, you know.
You know where she lives, though, right?
Yeah, I know she lives somewhere in the hills in Hollywood.
Yeah, okay. So you can't really, you know, be a pauper up there, right?
You know, I know Tom Hartman doesn't need no money.
No, he doesn't.
You know, I know Randy Rose, none of these people.
She don't need no money.
Are in need. Robin is in need.
Well, it looks like Kaiser, I just got a message about second booster.
Yeah, see, I'm about here. To probably get my second booster, too. But my point being, again, y'all can find the money for stuff that you want. Robin needs the money for stuff that she needs. Now, one day we're gonna like in my case, I'm gonna turn on this. I'm gonna go on to TuneIn and hit the head on, you know, thing, and there will be no silk. There will be silence, and we're gonna be going, what happened?
That's what happened with Norman.
You know,
and there's been a huge hole in the radio sphere since he's been gone.
Right. So do you really want to wake up one day or, you know, or what have you, and because this is our lifeline. And whenever I hear about the liberal media and I hear my girl struggling, I mean, just to try to keep the damn lights on, just the fact that she can keep living somewhere in a coal-powered infrastructure, where if somebody sneezes the wrong way, she loses power. Y'all, come on now.
You have had Tracy. You have had an impact, a big impact. I got to send out thanks now. To Women Standing, sending support, thank you. And to Trevor, thank you, Trevor. Thank you to Arnold in PA. Thank you to Ben. Thank you. And the sum total of this, and thank you to Stephen. The sum total of this is that Bruce's challenge has been met. So that took us from 1090 down to 590. And through the miracle of modern bad ciphering on my part, that means that we are now $480 away from completely funded up through this evening.
Now I'm going to do my thing and say, let's see. I'm going to do, this is Tracy's In Defense of Black Women Challenge. I put in the article that I was referring to in the chat about, it talks about Malcolm X and, you know, the whole thing about what black people have to deal with. And they talk of, you know, how black women, you know, especially what's been happening with, you know, Ketanji Brown Jackson. I mean, Ketanji Jackson Brown and all the stuff that we as black women have to deal with and smile.
You got it right the first time. She's definitely not Jackson Brown.
But, you know.
Got to be somebody's justice. Gonna be somebody's justice. Okay, I will stop now.
Please don't say, because then people will call back and say, give me my money back. Just the fact that, so this is going to be in the defense of black women's challenge. I'm going to throw down a $100 challenge.
Whoa.
Okay. So if y'all meet the $100 challenge, and I will do it up until Monday. Okay. So I'm not even, I'm gonna do that. I'm not gonna say, well, if it's not met until tonight, I'm done. No, I'm gonna do it until hold it out until Monday.
Well, if that does if that gets met, we'll be down to only $280 remaining for this evening. If that challenge is met, we will be funded all the way through yesterday. And
so I need people to do another challenge or what have you. Just don't stop. You know, somebody else call in. You know, I don't care about, you know.
Well, one of the founding members of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society, Darlene in Connecticut, just said Tracy's $100 challenge is met.
There you go.
And Jeremy jumped in on the Toward the Defense of Black Women challenge. And so that means that, let's see, 280, 260. 260, we are $260 away from a bona fide Friday on the Front Porch community-made miracle. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you, Jeremy, jumping back in. Thank you. And Jude said, for those who can't, women standing will, when she jumped in. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the model here has always been everything is free. Because, well, I mean, if you watch that fabulous documentary with that guy named Bob in it, Bob says at one point in time that West Virginia has learned the hard lessons of capitalism. And the hard lessons of capitalism are that in West Virginia's case, there are thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who have been taught those lessons in blood, and that it has not worked for us, but it has worked for a tiny handful of people who would not have ever been caught dead in this state. And I wanted not to be part of that model. And so I wanted, you know, Brother Deacon Ace and I were talking a couple of nights ago, if, you know, God, a little bit of PR goes a long way. And it's been a dream for 18 years to hire a publicist just to let people know that's out there. Because the conversation is everything. The conversations we have during the week, the conversations that take place on the front porch, are unlike anything going on almost anywhere else. I know my dear brother John Bridevaux likes to work like this too. Because it's in the process that the learning takes place. It's in the process that the doors open. And we realize things that we didn't even know we could know. And I don't think that can happen when 25 minutes of every 60 is a matter of delivering a community into the tender mercies of
Super Beats.
Super Beats. Or Buy Gold Now. or Bose Wave Robin, radios.
I don't think there's ever been a show that I've tuned into that I didn't learn something. One thing, two things, something.
And I try to live my life that way. I try to learn something new every day. And I love to share it. And I love the teaching that I receive. You know, Tracy's challenge was in the defense of black women. And that reminded me that she taught me a word, and I mentioned it the other day, because in the aftermath of the Academy Awards, you know, slap heard around the world, I saw a word being bandied about that made perfect sense to me. And it's a neologism that mixes misogyny with the French word for black. And it is misogynoir. And it is the special form of misogyny that is directed specifically at black women. And which was directed Sunday night at Jada Pinkett Smith. And it is, yeah, and I wouldn't have known that otherwise. I would have looked at that Instagram post or whatever and said, the hell is that? But we are a resource to each other. And, you know, I like to think that thanks to this program, I know for a fact that pre- and post-transition, I have dedicated more on-air time to the issue of mountaintop removal than any other broadcaster on planet Earth, by orders of magnitude. And that has meaning. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Thank you, Herbert. Oh, my God. It is a Horn Family Community Congregation official. Haul out the cowbells. Community made miracle.
Did we do it?
We did it. Y'all did it. I thought it impossible. Y'all did it. With 27 minutes and 20 seconds to spare. Did I just say spare? Oh, dear God.
No, you said that's kind of like spear. You know, you made a new word. Okay, so if you really want to show out, if you really, 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 really want to show out, you know, don't stop here. Keep going and maybe we can at least get, you know, I would hazard to say get all of Monday funded, but at least let's start on Monday.
And we have. We are, thanks to Herbert, we are $60 into Monday.
There you go. See.
Wait, we are $80. We are $80 into Monday. Thank you to our dear friend John in Central PA.
John, Robin, I have a cosmic interjection that just came to me. And it's probably true for everybody.
Wait, does this have anything to do with Pinocchio?
No, not at all. You wouldn't SOB lie.
Lie to me.
This is serious, and it's probably true for everybody listening or who has ever listened. We always get more out of this than we've ever put into it. And by put into it, I mean financial support or calling in. It astounds me that there are not more people who are part of the actual conversation. I will never get my head wrapped around that. But I personally, in the history of my listenership, have always gotten more out of this program than I've ever put into it, conversationally or financially. But that shouldn't stop any of us from kicking in a few bucks if we can. And that's all anybody is saying. Nobody's trying to guilt trip you or any of that, because that's not if you listen. For any amount of time, you know that that's not what this show is about. And I just, you know, take that to heart. You know, we're always going to get more out of it than we've ever put into it. But don't let that stop you from kicking in from time to time. Is that all right? Can I get an amen? Or
amen. Absolutely, amen.
And say amen.
The church says amen.
Hallelujah.
And just so you'll know the kind of frivolities that this supports, last summer, the studio air conditioner died. I finished out. Well, all of last summer, because it happened in May, June, with no air conditioning back here, and some of you may recall, yeah, because I talk about what it's like back here, because it's theater of the mind, and yeah, there was a lot of naked radio that took place last year, because it would be 92 degrees in here. And because of the way the studio is configured now, I can't put a window unit in. And so I was looking online. I was looking particularly at one of the big box home improvement stores. And I found one of those freestanding air conditioners, but it also doubles as a heater. And so, you know, if I can get around to the point where I can buy that, we may solve both the heating and the air conditioning problems back here. Because that, and that would be wonderful. Because as hot as it gets in here in the summer, it gets every bit as... I mean, there were broadcasts in January and February where every word I spoke, I could see my breath heading toward the microphone.
And I've never done this, but I can relate. Naked radio is bad enough without doing it while sitting on a block of ice, because you get a chap that you won't believe on both your cheeks.
Oh, if you know, if you remember the scene from A Christmas Story.
Yeah, the tongue, when he got the tongue stuck on.
Yeah.
The
I got things going on now that make that like mild.
Oh.
So, you know. Not to be all TMI or anything.
It's too late.
Sorry.
Well, if they made it through Pinocchio and Snow White, I think they're up for anything.
Lie, you little bastard, lie!
Little wooden bastard.
You little wooden bastard, lie!
Because he gave good word, y'all. Come on, man. What? What?
That
wood? What?
Oh, gives a whole new meaning to morning wood.
See, come on, we can go, you know.
You went there first. Okay, Scott went there first. Then you went there.
And then I said got wood, you know, so.
Jeremy, you're hopeless. Jeremy said, I do recall a thread a while back of a front porch naked radio, nipple clamps the mic and all. Damn it, I'm starting to think this won't happen. Yeah, with 21 minutes left in the program, we are thoroughly into the gutter. Well, no, we went into the gutter with the Pinocchio joke.
The Pinocchio joke, that started this early.
Tracy, you're going to have to go up in the attic to get all that stuff for that front porch.
Nope, that stuff is
wrong. It's not in the attic. Come on.
I don't have an attic. Have an attic. I live in L.A. We don't have attics here.
Okay.
We have crawl spaces and all that. No. We don't have it.
Crawling on all four spaces.
Well, some people did. I sure as hell did.
But, Robin, if you broadcast that video, just think all the sugar daddies would come out and help you. They would be begging on your doorstep.
I got enough creep. I got enough creepers. I got enough creepers as it is. By the way, Arnold said, yeah, being $1,000 plus in the hole had me pissed. Yay, I'm glad we finished. Thank you, Arnold. I haven't done this in a while. Let's see. Let's do a creeper check.
Robin's creeper check. You need some like Mr. Rogers type music to go with that. Ms. Robin's creeper check.
Yeah, man, and they're so predictable. They're either really, really frank, or it all begins.
No, she needs the
Frank.
Frank.
She needs the Jeopardy music playing in the background. Get it? Jeopardy music.
Manhattan. who, by the way, has one post and is following 2,389 trans women.
Jesus Christ!
Says, "Hey there, how are
you? Book record?
Hey there, hey there, how are you doing?" Chris, who's making not you, Chris. Chris, who's making duck face in his profile pic, and has one post and is following 5,668 trans women. Hello, Robin. Let's see. Austin just says hello. Austin professes to be they them, and is following 7,498 people and has 96 posts. And the funniest part is people can't read. Oh, there's Antonio Mark. If your profile pic has you in a fucking lab coat, you get blocked out of hand. He's following 520 people and has 10 posts. Hi. Oh, God. Wait, this was good, though. Otis has 78 followers, has made 4 posts, and follows 465 trans girls.
You know, Robin, you say follow. You what you say is following, I call stalking.
Let's see. Otis says, "Hi, Robin. I know I'm a random stranger on the internet, but I just want you to know that you have a very unique and kind smile." Yeah, he's making a woman suit.
Robin, you didn't intro this segment correctly. First of all, you needed a special theme music for the Peepers and Creepers update. This could be a regular feature of the show.
I'm going to have to post it. Oh, my God.
Brought to you by Jergens Lotion.
I like the almond scent.
Robin, you can name this.
I did see an interesting post supposedly out of Florida earlier today from a teacher who posted that kindergarten, first grade teacher, something like that. He would no longer respond to the parents as being a Mr. and Mrs. or a woman. And all the children in her class, she would refer to as they and them. And it went on to about 5 other things to try to appease Governor Death Sentence in not having any gender references in their classroom. And it was a beautiful post.
Nice. It's not so damn difficult. Oh, you'll enjoy this. This is Rahul from Pune, who badly wants to date trans women. And that's a sure sign of a chaser. He got so bold as to you don't like the fetish things?
Look. Fetish things? Is that a sequel to Stranger Things?
I have been propositioned in French.
We are making progress, even though it seems slow. We're being set back by people like DeSantis. And I say that because yesterday, for the first time, I went back to my endocrinologist in 2 years, and like 2.25 years because of COVID. And before I went in, I filled out my pre-application paper, this and that. And they had gender questions. I've never seen those before.
Well, did you see the announcement from the Biden State Department? They will now allow, on passports, they will now allow the gender marker to simply be represented by the letter X.
And that's essentially what I did, because there's 3 choices. There was male, there's female, and there's neutral. I checked off neutral because I'm somewhere in between. I've said that for years. I really am.
That's classically gender fluid.
And lo and behold, at the end of the conversation, she looked at me and she said, "I see you checked this off on your paperwork. What do you prefer to be called?" I was flabbergasted. But I figured in the end, these people want to help me. Why try to hide something they can help me with? I mean, at least acknowledge it's there so they know what I'm fighting with.
Right.
So we are making progress, even though people like the same turn to slow it down. It is coming. Fuck that man.
Right. I mean, as I've said before, people like, what was his name? Greg Greasy Dick or what? Greg Stinkfield and Benny the Johnson there. Something about transgender swords or something. They are woolly mammoths who have wandered into the tar pit, and they are bellowing at an uncaring universe as they sink slowly beneath the goo. That's all. That's all.
You know, the only thing that, well, not the only thing, because there are many, many things that bother me about the Democratic Party. Half and never. I just wish, because I guess I'm tired of the Republicans screaming about, you know, the leftist media and all this. That's not so. Because it's like, the economy is getting better. I mean, yes, we're in, you know, inflation is kicking a lot of people's butts. But we, you know, you don't hear about the good stuff that the Biden administration is doing. I mean, until you mentioned it about the weed thing, the cannabis thing, I hadn't heard about that. Nobody, you know, we don't talk about the fact that when we had the family, you know, the child tax, you know, credit, it lifted 50% of children out of poverty. But because the Republicans said, oh, no, we don't have the money for that, it went away. See, these are the things that we need to be calling out the Republican Party about. And I don't understand. I mean, there all these damn millennials. I know there's some millennials that know how to do marketing and social media and all sorts of stuff. Where are these people? And why have the Democratic, these dinosaurs in the Democratic Party haven't gotten up and said, they've gotten somebody that knows how to do messaging out? Because this is, it just drives me crazy. It just really drives me crazy how we suck at messaging.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, they stay on message relentlessly.
And all that crazy horse shit that I heard today about the Reefer Madness. I mean, where's the retort? Crickets.
Where's the retort?
Where's the retort?
Where's
crickets.
The retort? I mean, I was listening out here at KPFK. Because they're finally not doing, because we talk about a station in shambles. It seemed like every time I turned it on, they were doing a fund drive. But so just so happens on Fridays they have Margaret Prescott has her round table. And we're talking Jackie Goldberg, Gerald Horn, who is just this amazing, Dr. Gerald Horn, rather. How dare I just call him? like we homies.
Yeah.
you know, but.
Your buddy Jerry.
My homeboy, Jerry. You know, but they have, so every Friday they have a round table with these three amazing scholars, you know, in economics and geopolitical matters and stuff that have to do with, you know, not just the black community, but just, you know, progressive issues at large. And one of the things, you know, they were talking about not so much messaging, but Dr. Horn was bringing out what's happening, you know, they were talking about the 2022 midterms. And that was the thing about, you know, how we're not talking about how, you know, what the good things that are happening. But conversely, Dr. Horn was talking about, you know, the folks that basically saved the 2020 election, black people. And how no one is talking about this, you know, the anti-black racism, and how you know, you're upsetting black people because you saw, was that last year when the Haitian refugees were trying to come into this country, and you had the Border Patrol chasing them after them and knocking people over
but horses. And stuff like that. But then, no disrespect to the people coming in from the Ukraine, because if some, you know, these people need help just as much as anybody. How come they get to leapfrog over the black people who are, you know, who are running from, you know, Haiti, Cameroon, and all these other places, which is just as bad as what's going on in the Ukraine?
I haven't seen any videos of wild-eyed, crazy henchmen riding horses beating up on Ukrainians. I haven't seen those videos.
And have you seen the videos of what's happening to the black people, the black students that are the African students and whatnot that are in Ukraine, trying to get out of Ukraine, but because of anti-black racism, they're not letting them into Poland. You know, first of all, they're not letting them, if they even let them on the train, to get out of the Ukraine. And if they do get on the train, they're not letting them into these countries that give them refugee status. So you have
to steal your. I'm going to steal your two words. That part.
That part. So when, what are you saying? You know, Uncle Joe, Grandpa Joe, to the black people in this country, when you aren't saying anything and calling them out, you know, oh, we'll study this. Study my black ass. Well, people would like to study my black ass, but I digress. You know, I don't need a study. I need you to do something about it. I need you to say, hey, this ain't right. We're sitting.
And he's the boss. The buck stops right there.
Right. How much money have we sent to Ukraine to help them out?
Fuck.
Okay, that much. That part. And so, but you're not saying, well, you know, you want our help, but you're treating the black people that are there. And yes, okay, they're not American citizens, granted, but they're still human beings. But we got black people who are here in America watching this shit and going, huh. Really, though. Really. You know, so anti-blackness is, anti-black racism is real, and it is, that shit is global, y'all. This shit is global. So when, there's all these things that, well, you know, we got it this incremental, and we can't do this. Yes, you can. There's a whole lot, it's amazing what you can do when it comes to money and how people listen to that, you know, with the money. And I don't care about, oh, we'll look into that bullshit. No. People's lives are at stake. And the fact that, you know, this whole thing about these black people who are still seeking asylum a year later, and that, not even aside from that, the black people, what about the brown folks? Central America who are still trying to get in here.
But they're all members of MS-13. We can't let them in.
Right. Nobody's even questioning whether any of these people coming in are part of the, you know, because I know, and we all know, there's criminal elements happening in Ukraine.
Yeah, no and shit. So
no, nobody's questioning whether any of these people have criminal backgrounds. Not a one. They just come on in.
The Ukrainian mafia is not too different from the Russian mafia.
Okay? I know that.
Basically, peas in a pot.
Mafia is mafia is mafia.
Exactly.
Mafia is mafia. Okay? So, you know, this double standard, the hypocrisy, and it's like, come on now. You know, I did hear, though, that they are dropping, the 242, you know, thing that during COVID they were saying that they wouldn't let people in, you know, to seek asylum because they were bringing in COVID or some other, you know, some.
Yeah, well, that's the Title 42, right?
Title 42.
The justification.
And you know, there was no scientific basis of it other than racist as fuck.
Right up Donnie's ass. That's what it was.
That was, you know, what is the evidence? What is the justification? Oh, it was just racist as fuck. So at least, you know, there's that. But even with that, nobody's talking about it. So again, it's like, but we have, I mean, there's so many things that can be done because, see, you know, we all know what happens during the midterms. I mean, 2018 was an abnormality or whatever. I mean, people came out because people are hotter than fish grease. They came out and voted motherfuckers out, voted people in, and it was a beautiful thing. All these women and all these people of color that came in, that got into office because they're like, oh, fuck you, Trump. We're going to do whatever we can to fuck with you and make your life a living hell. But everybody, there was a battle cry that everybody was rallying around, you know, because we saw what was going on. But I hope that somebody, I hope that same fire is lit under people's asses now, because we're still fighting for our lives.
I said it last week, I'll say it again. 2016 was the most important election in American history. 2018 was the most important election in American history. 2020 was the most important election in American history. 2022 is the most important election in U.S. history.
Because democracy is fragile. That's where that old line from Benjamin, purportedly attributed to Benjamin Franklin, comes from. Dr. Franklin, what kind of government do we have? And he said, "A republic, if you can keep it." And I don't think he was castigating his interrogator. Instead, I think he was. I think maybe he had a greater understanding of the fragility of the process that he had just watched be put into place.
Okay.
He saw things that could go wrong. What?
Before you go on, just the fact that you said castigating his interrogator.
Yes, ma'am?
That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my God.
Instead of questioning his interviewer or calling out his interviewer or what have you, you said castigating his interrogator. Now, for a lot of people who don't know what that means, you know, and the only reason why I know is because I know what it means to castigate a motherfucker, and I know what it, you know, because I'm like, oh, interrogatory, you know, I had to break that shit down, but how could that be? God damn, bitch, that was some fine, you got a curry little mouth, that was some fine, you know,
Scott, do you want to haul out, go ahead, do it, Scott, haul out the line from Dr. Strangelove and get it over with. I mean, sorry, from Blazing Saddles.
Oh, I felt like I could have a...
No, that was Dr.
That's
no, when she said pretty little mouth.
Oh, you got a pretty little mouth. I don't know.
Wait a minute, isn't that...
That's Deliverance.
That's Harvey, Slim Pickens looks at Harvey Korman and says, "God dang it, Mr. Taggart, you use your mouth better than a $20 whore."
I forgot that line. I'm sorry. I thought
you were talking about Deliverance.
One time.
No,
that shorty got a pretty mouth.
When I was growing up, we had a dog that got castigated, and he wouldn't get in the car after that.
Yeah, it didn't matter how much emollient you put on the wound.
That's right.
I guarantee you there is not another goddamn radio show in the entire United States that has that has gone down the roads we have gone down tonight. And every blessed night.
We've got wooden boys who come to life. We've got Snow White.
Oh, yeah, you got that.
Lie, you little bastard, lie!
Little wooden bastard.
You little wooden bastard.
It's got to be a song, little wooden bastard.
This is one-stop shopping for really great stuff, kids.
It is. And by the way, when I mentioned that all of my pop culture references are no good for anybody lost on anybody under 50, Brother Deacon Asa, the little ray of fucking sunshine that he persistently is, says, that just means you're ancient, Robin. I mean, really, hey, get off my lawn, Clouds, quit.
I don't even want to think about what that makes me. If Robin's ancient, then I'm ready for the boneyard. But can I get back to Ben Franklin?
Well, one thing real quick, I have to thank Raymond. Thank you, Raymond. We are now $105 to the good on Monday.
All right.
Damn.
Speaking of Ben Franklin, his response to the lady, I believe it was the lady that asked him that question, you know, his response to her was not just to her. His response was a response for our generation and every generation since and every generation to come. A republic, if you can keep it. Wasn't that what he said?
Yes, a republic, if you can keep it.
Yeah, and it's incumbent upon us all to answer appropriately, give an appropriate response to Dr. Franklin's response to the lady. It was a question for the ages. But speaking of old Ben, and I know that his work is sometimes uneven, but this week, in the coming week on PBS, two-hour episodes about Ben Franklin, Ken Burns. And it ought to be good. It may not be, but it ought to be good.
Oh, thank you for that. I'll tune into that. I'll definitely record that, for sure.
And it's not true that...
You probably have the recording. You can just probably stream it. But then again, if you record it, then you can keep it. You know, you don't have to worry about it if they don't... Because PBS has this talk about paywall. They have this little funny thing that they do. They'll stream it for free, and then you got to buy the shit after a while. You can't.
Motherfucking Netflix wanted me to pay $15 for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I found it for $4 on Prime, I think.
You mean Amazon? You mean Amazon or?
Yeah, I think it was the Prime movies or Prime Video. I think I found it for $4, but Netflix wanted to charge $15.
Ouch!
How much did the fucking movie cost when it was made in the theater with the popcorn and the candy and the Slurpee?
I think maybe, like you said,
$5?
$5, and that's including, like you said, and you know, God help you for those people who like fucking Raisinets. Shut up, Robin. Don't you call me
Get me started, Tracy.
You're a raisinist. You can run, but you cannot hide. You are a raisinist.
A raisinist and a grape supremacist.
Yes.
I want that. Whitey supremacy.
She was a raisinist.
Again, these are the things, you know, when I talk, there's only two shows or two stations or two shows that I promote. Your show and then, like, you know, KBLA, and not all the shows that I promote on KBLA. There's only a few of the shows, and, of course, they're female-led, and now your show is female-led. So all the shows that I do promote that I try to get people to listen to are female-led because, you know... Speaking of female led, holy shit, I just ran across this by accident at HBO Max, Julia.
I want to see that so bad.
Oh my God, it is amazing.
Okay, I know what we're watching tonight.
I mean, because it's like, I think they have 4 episodes that I've already dropped. But for those of you who don't know, it's the story about how Julia Child's show got started, and how and you don't think about it because cooking shows are a dime a dozen now. But she was when she was thinking about doing and how the first episode is how she even thought about coming up with the idea of a cooking show, and and the men who. Browbeat her and, you're not much to look at. And her father, who was a complete ass. But the best part, because I've never heard of the actresses portraying her, but my boy David Hyde Pierce.
Yes.
Niles. Niles! He plays her husband. And this man adores this woman. And then the incomparable Bebe Neuwirth plays her best friend. So we got...
Oh, my God. No, that's a murderer's row.
But, and then another awesome part is that the one person that... Because, her show started on, PBS, speaking of, public, broadcasting, since Scott brought it up, was the person who really, really pushed for her was a black woman. So you have a black woman pushing for a show. Listen to this line, Robin. She says, and I probably won't get it right, but she says, I am looking for a confederacy of estrogen.
Ooh!
Okay, talk about, you use your mouth,
prettier than a,
prettier than a $20 whore? I mean, because basically she was talking about women and how women stick together and how women take care of each other.
And one other thing, I don't know how they handle. I'll have to see when I watch it how they handle the perspective on it. But along with Julie Newmar, she was she was an icon for big women. Because
yes.
Julia was every bit of 6 feet in flats.
In flats, and that's one of the things that they talk about. She was having back problems, and that's one of the, in the first episode they talk about her husband, how they raised the counter in the kitchen, so she wouldn't have to stoop because the counters were too low for her, because they were built for women.
The same thing happens to me. In my little outdoor kitchen. The prep table, I'm practically bent double if I'm trying to chop an onion. So I know exactly what that feels like.
What?
And we are over time, and
yes,
this.
One day.
I'm sorry. What?
And so there's we bought this vanity in the main bathroom, and my mother, who is tall, my mom's about, she's probably about 5'10". Yeah, both of my maternal and paternal grandmothers are short. So guess who? I have been this height. I've been 5'5" since I was in elementary school. So everybody just knew I was gonna be tall. Myself included. Yeah, no, I stopped at 5'5". But anyway. But the vanity is so. My mother, when she first visited us, after we moved in, she's like, "Oh my gosh, where did you get this vanity?" Because again, she's a tall woman, and she's like, when she goes into the bathroom, she has to stoop to use the sink or what have you, because of the fact that she's tall. And this vanity is tall. It's awesome, but it's just. Those things that the accommodations that people don't take into consideration, like when I went back to school, when we went back on campus this semester, and these fucking desks, Robin, I told my teacher, I said, "Who are these motherfuckers made for? 12-year-olds?" I said, "I can't get my ass up in this bitch. These things are too small." And I'm like, I'm a big girl, but I'm like, I can't even imagine what it's like for a guy anybody that's over 5'11" or what have you, they can't get into these things. So it's like, whoever designed these things were not thinking about real human beings. They weren't thinking about pregnant women. They weren't thinking about big people. They were thinking only of, Katie.
Well, that's like, the little short range commuter jets, Canadair, Bombardier. I forget who the Brazilian, maybe Bombardier is the Brazilian firm, I'm not sure. But, you know, I remember the first time I got on one of those, well, son of a gun, this jet was designed by hobbits.
It was the first time I rode on one of those, I forget where I was going. No, I think it was to Jefferson City. They actually had to distribute the passengers in a certain way to even out the weight distribution for to make it easier on the pilot so that he wouldn't lose control of the plane. I said, what have I got into? I've never flown like this before.
And hope never to again. Right. Well, I need to send out thanks to Kevin and Tracy in Massachusetts. Thank you both so much. This hasn't happened in a long time. Our fundraising goal for Monday will be $140. That means that $160 of Monday has been met. And that's so freaking awesome. And I was talking with Tracy on Facebook when I was mentioning Devil Put the Coal in the Ground. And she said, I don't know if I can watch it. It may be too much. And mentioned the fact that her immigrant ancestors were basically kidnapped into the coal fields and brutalized. And that is, you know, and that's part of the history. And if you know the history, some of it's hard to watch. But it's worth watching. It's absolutely worth watching. I got to get out of here. Hopefully we'll be able to upload to Podbean since it's the first day of the month. Podbean sucks so much. But it blows my mind to think that, you know, we're approaching 500,000 downloads in only, 5 years? And that's just one of the platforms where the program's available? It absolutely amazes me. And as I as I head out, thanks so much to all of you for taking some of the a lot of stress off of me. I get to actually relax and enjoy the weekend a little bit and pay a flurry of bills. Thank you. I mean, I cannot thank you enough. The conversation this evening has been sparkling, absolutely magnificent, and at times hilarious. Why, you little wooden bastard? Why? I don't know why I find that so funny. but thank you all. And thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Patreon came out, was done today. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our a la carte contributors with your kind gifts. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Sparky, you're probably not listening, but I hope you had an absolutely wonderful afternoon today. Thank you to Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Apparently busy this evening. I hope you're okay, Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for all you do and all you've been doing and all you're going to have to do to fix whatever went sideways with the website and the player. You know, as Jude mentioned a little bit ago, and I wanted to wrap the program with this. As I once stated, the funding always happens. Why? Due to those behind the scenes, as there are many, who will be present to the horn's need. Yes, peace. As impossible as that sounds. Peace indeed. Thank you, Jude. You always have a sage and uplifting word and I do appreciate it, and the family community congregation does too. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Remember, billions and billions served. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Coal River Mountain Watch played a significant role in providing some of the content for Devil Put the Coal in the Ground through our volunteers, of whom I am one. Of course, Coal River Mountain Watch is now a union shop, and I'm proud of that. And, well, speaking of unions, on the way out the door, congratulations to the workers on Long Island at the Amazon warehouse, who by a margin of some 500 votes decided they wanted better, they wanted a better life, they wanted a retirement with something resembling dignity, and they organized. And they are a union shop now. There is a recount taking place at the Bessemer, Alabama plant. The union is down by 100 votes. But last I checked, there are 400 contested ballots. And you got to think in a union organ, in a union election, contested ballots almost always mean ballots that the company knows are probably pro-union votes. And that was already, that first election had to be redone because it was so damn dirty. Come on, Alabamians. Rooting for you. Stay safe. Schedule your second booster as soon as you can. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. You know, the pandemic, it's a weird side effect. Some of us have become more cleanly people. And that's a good thing. Carry hand sanitizer with you wherever you go. I've got a little baby Yoda, a bottle of baby Yoda hand sanitizer in my purse. Maintain your social distance, like Paul from Parts Unknown says, 15 to 20 feet if you can manage it. Don't get rid of your mask. It's way too, well, it's just not wise. And, you know, if somebody comes burbling towards you, babbling madness or something about it, trans people with swords, avoid Greg Stinkfield and Benny the Johnson like the plague, because they are. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.